Good afternoon. I'm Christian Zylstra, and I'm your host for the Defender Football Pregame Show right here on KDCR. And a shout out to those of you as well listening online at KDCR885.com or those listening mobily through the TuneIn radio app. It's the start of another Dort University football season here on KDCR. The Dort Defenders today on the road to take on the Midland Warriors in Fremont, Nebraska. The season opener for both teams as the NAIA pushing the start dates competition-wise back until September 12. And what do you know, that's today's date. We'll be doing things just a little bit differently here on the Defender Football Pregame Show this year. I'll always open up the program. We're going to be a little more streamlined this year, though, hitting on three main features for each show. We'll have the GPAC Football Report with GPAC Commissioner Corey Westra. We'll have our Dort Football Senior Interview, and we'll have an interview with a Dort Football coach before wrapping things up and getting you set for today's action. Our senior interview today is linebacker Josh Mrazek. He's joining me today on the program, and Joel Penner, the head coach of the Defender Football Program. He'll be joining us as well. But before we get to those interviews here on the Defender Football Pregame Show, coming up next, it's the GPAC Football Report with GPAC Commissioner Corey Westra.
This is the GPAC Football Saturday Report for Saturday, September 12, brought to you by the Great Plains Athletic Conference and Cypress Risk Management, the official championship partner of the Great Plains Athletic Conference. Welcome back to another season of GPAC football, and boy, are we excited to get underway today, as it is the opening Saturday across the league, a later start this year because of COVID-19, but we're ready to go with GPAC football for 2020. Let's begin our GPAC report for the year with a look at the preseason GPAC football poll that came out a week ago. Morningside was picked to win the conference this year with 81 points. They had 9 first-place votes. Morningside is the defending NAIA and GPAC champion. Northwestern is picked second in the GPAC preseason poll with 73 points, and they picked up 1 first-place vote. Dort, Midland, and Briar Cliff round out the top 5 in the preseason, followed by Doan, Concordia, Hastings, Dakota Wesleyan, and Jamestown. The complete preseason coaches poll is available on our website at gpacksports.com. That's a look at the preseason poll for this year. Coming up after the break, we'll take a look at the matchups for week number 1 of GPAC football. The GPAC Football Saturday Report will continue right after this timeout. The Great Plains Athletic Conference was founded in 2000 and is proud of its academic and athletic excellence. Since the league began, we have had 31 NAIA National Team Championships and boast over 700 NAIA Daktronics Scholar Athletes annually. To learn more about the GPAC, including fan protocols during COVID-19, go to our website at gpacksports.com or follow us on Twitter at gpacksports. There are 4 GPAC football games on the slate for this opening weekend for 2020. Let's jump into the schedule for this week. 2 games are in the afternoon. The first matchup is in Fremont, Nebraska at Heatham Field. The Midland Warriors will host the Dort Defenders in a 1 o'clock kickoff. These two teams met up last year to end the year, and it was for 3rd place in the conference. Should be a great matchup between Dort and Midland to start the year in Fremont this Saturday. Dakota Wesleyan travels to take on the Hastings Broncos. This is a 1 o'clock kickoff as well, and this one will be played in Hastings, Nebraska. The final 2 matchups for week number 1 are under the lights. At 6 o'clock, an old rivalry renewed, and it will be in Crete, Nebraska. The Doan Tigers will host the Concordia Bulldogs. 6 o'clock start again for this game in Crete. And the final matchup for week number 1 is the number 1 and number 2 teams in the preseason coaches poll. 7 o'clock at Elwood Olsen Stadium in Sioux City, it's Morningside against Northwestern. These two met last year late in the season to determine the GPAC championship. They'll meet in the first game this year, again under the lights at Olsen Stadium in Sioux City. This game will be broadcast on Metro Sports TV, available on long lines in Western Iowa. Again, Dort at Midland, Dakota Wesleyan at Hastings, Doan hosting Concordia, Northwestern, and Morningside for week one of GPAC football. The Jamestown and Briarcliff matchup has been postponed to a date to be determined later. And when details are released on that, we'll release them as well at GPACSports.com and on our Twitter feed at GPACSports. This has been your GPAC Football Saturday Report for week number one, Saturday, September 12. Again, for more on the Great Plains Athletic Conference, our website is GPACSports.com, Twitter at GPACSports. Don't forget to check the fan protocols available on our website. I'm Corey Westra for the GPAC Football Saturday Report.
You're listening to the Defender Football Pregame Show here on KDCR. I'm Christian Zylstra. The Defenders taking on the Midland Warriors today. We're back here with our Dort Football Senior Interview segment. We started this segment a couple of years ago, and the feedback was great, so we're continuing with it. We interview a senior each week from the Defender Football team, and this week for our Dort Football Senior Interview, we're joined by linebacker Josh Morasic. So, Josh, appreciate your time and swinging by the station here this week. You come to Dort University from Woodlands, Texas. How did you hear about Dort, and what stood out to you about Dort and the Defender football program that led to you ultimately committing?
So I actually heard from Dort from the recruiting websites, and I was actually getting letters from Coach Nutt, and he was recruiting me at the time. During that time, I was kind of in between either going big school or small school. I wasn't sure what I was going to do yet. And I had some visits at bigger schools, and then I made the decision later on in the recruitment process to go to a smaller school. And Dort was actually my last visit, and it was right during January. It was cold. There was snow everywhere. As soon as I got there, it was just, I knew there was something special about that school. There's, you know, the team was just so tight. I'd never seen a team so, had such a good brotherhood, and the coaches were just really connecting, and I just decided to come here through that.
This fall camp's probably been unlike any other you've been a part of thus far. How has this camp been different, and how have you had to adjust as you try to get ready for a new season?
Yeah, this camp, because of COVID, just first of all, it was shorter. So in my opinion, it was a lot more intense. We had to get a lot of our basic stuff down quickly. And during the summer, we had a lot of opportunities to learn and get ready for that. But yeah, for the COVID stuff, we had to be a lot safer, wear masks, be socially distanced, and we had to be a lot more careful with that. So it was a little harder to try and get stuff done with all that in mind.
How would you describe your personality on the football field? And how does that compare to maybe your personality off of it? Are they similar? Are they different? Do you kind of take on a different persona when you step on the field?
Absolutely. It's even my girlfriend will tell you it's a lot different on the field. I would say I'm fierce, and I don't like anyone. Of course, I like my teammates, but I try to be mean, and I learned from an early age. My dad played football in college, and he was the one that told me, you know, flick the switch. And then my mom, if you ever met my mom, is a really nice girl. So she's like, be nice, you know, outside of football, be a nice guy. So yeah, outside of football, I say I'm, you know, respectful and kind and try to like everyone, and then on the football, I'm just flick the switch, mean guy.
You've had a solid career. You're a leader of this team, a leader on this defense. We've seen Dort football really improve under Coach Benner. When this program hits its peak, what do you think that could look like?
Yeah, I like that question because at Dort, we never think about reaching a peak. We always want to raise the bar. Thinking about just football and record-wise in general, the goal is to win conference championship, national championship. So you could say that is the peak. But at Dort is a team, and who we bring in, we always want to raise the bar and just keep on fulfilling our goals.
You're a senior now. As you kind of look back at your life, how important has the sport of football and this program and this coaching staff been for you as a man?
It's been unbelievable. So this will be my 17th season playing tackle football. I've been playing since I was five. You could say pretty much football has made me into the man I am today. This community, Sioux Center, has just changed my life. I tell people all the time, if you met the freshman me and you meet the now me, that would be two different people. And a lot of that's thanks to the coaches and the people I've met. They really helped me out in my faith and really taught me how to be a man and meeting my girlfriend here in Sioux Center was actually great for me also.
Well, Josh, we're excited for this season. We wish you and the rest of the team the best of health and good luck moving forward.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm Christian Zylstra, and you're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5 FM and online at KDCR885.com. I'm joined here on KDCR by Joel Penner, the head football coach here at Dort University. He's joining us here on the Premier Communications Defender Coaches Show, as well as the Defender Football Pregame Show. The Dort University Defenders finally get their football season underway today. They had to wait 1 week longer than all the other fall sports in regards to the first allowed competition date. The other fall sports were allowed to start competing on September 5. Football had to wait the extra week for September 12, but the wait, it's worth it. Dort football at Midland for its week one competition. So, Coach Penner, we appreciate you stopping by the studio here. I know it's been kind of a wild time over the, well, really the past 6 months or so. You know, so each program was affected by COVID-19 differently, but the main thing, you know, each team had to deal with this year was everyone had to disperse. You had your team dispersed across the country for really the better part of 6 months, and that's right through what normally would have been spring ball as well as a few other activities. How do you build team cohesiveness and keep a unit and a brotherhood tight like that when you're all spread halfway across the country for half a year?
Yeah, it's been a long 5 months, five and a half now. And boy, it seems like so long ago now that we were strategizing. How do we reach our guys and how do we hold them accountable and how do we encourage them and how do we continue to you know, we've talked about the locomotive. How do we keep the locomotive moving in the state that we were all in? So, you know, for us, we did the virtual spring ball, and we actually sent out, you know, pre-made videos by our coaches. We had position zooming. I mean, we did a lot of the stuff other places were doing that you probably heard about. But I think one of the things that was probably the most impactful was I had one of the leaders on our team come in, and I was just talking to him like, hey, you know, what do you think? How can we not just get through the summer, but actually come out ahead? And how can we maximize? And he had this idea that we'll lean on the leaders and let the leaders divide up the team, and we'll be responsible to reach out to everyone in our group every single week, and we'll ask how their workouts are going, and we'll ask how are things going in your family, and we'll just the kind of stuff that we would do if we were together. Well, let us do it. And I said, I'm sold. And so I have great leadership on this team. That's how we made it through. We leaned on those guys. And kind of a cool thing, when we showed up in August, you know, whatever that was now, almost a month ago, they all knew each other, even the freshmen. They all had relationships with each other. And it literally felt like we just picked up right where we left off. And it didn't feel like 5 months. It felt like 5 days. And so that was a really encouraging thing to see when we reported, was how connected the guys were, even though they were apart for so long.
With fall camp obviously being a little different with the NAI rules in terms of how long camp is, when practice dates start, when competitions start, obviously you have the COVID precautions in place. Did you have to approach this fall camp differently than normal? Did you have to make certain portions or periods more intense since you lost parts of that spring ball and that, I guess, togetherness on campus during March?
We had to try to, I would say, assess. That first 3 days of camp was really just about assessment. We knew those were not going to be, you know, hey, you know, Midland's in a month, we got to get ready for our game. It was just going to be, let's take stock of where everyone's at, physically, mentally, emotionally, all that stuff. And so we had, you know, a number of different metrics that we used and employed with the team that first couple days just to figure out, okay, where are we at? And then we had already kind of built some, okay, if this, then this protocols. You know, if they're ready at this level, then we're doing this plan. And if they're ready at this level, we're doing this plan. And the reality is a mixed bag, right? Some guys are ultra, like, time to go and in the best shape of their lives. And some guys, you know, had been on their own and maybe struggled a little bit more. So we had a system for kind of, we're going to handle this group this way and this group this way. And our coaches did a great job differentiating. And we purchased some new technology called Sparta Science. Athletic trainer Chris Vagernes brought that in. And it's a great assessment tool that's used by a lot of pro teams and Division I programs that helps assess, you know, injury risk, balance, strength, symmetry. And we really utilize that in our strength and conditioning. And so that was a really helpful tool. But once we got assessment done, what we really focused on was, all right, there's a ton of weight on these guys in terms of social distancing, mask wearing, you know, the message of staying healthy, staying safe is just, it's being pounded into them so hard, appropriately so. How can we do that? And then when they cross the track and get on the turf, it's football. And they don't have to think about it as much. I would say that for the most part, we achieved that. You know, there was a strong message of, guys, this is a different year. Here's what it's going to take for us to play this year. And we had hiccups, and we had a few cases, and we had some quarantines, and we had a real interruption to our camp, you know. But we told them from the beginning, this is probably going to happen. How often does it happen, and how much does it affect us? You know, those are things we want to try to control. And so guys have been tremendous at responding to adversity. There may or may not have been a gladiator clip or two shown to set the tone for how we're going to respond to adversity this year in our training camp. But they've been terrific. It's all been building to the season, and we're looking at 9 games this fall, starting with Midland here.
When we look at the roster makeup this year, you know, the past several recruiting classes have been large. So yeah, you have a large number of underclassmen, but also 30, 35 or so juniors and seniors who we've already talked a little bit about their leadership and the role they play in this program that have been starting for 2, 3, you know, maybe this is their 4th year now starting for your football team. How do you feel about the way the roster has kind of come together entering this season?
Well, this senior class I've said this to you every year, how special the seniors are to me. And I have a little different reason for every class on why they're special. This group is the group that we went the distance with in recruiting. You know, last year's seniors were our first senior class that we recruited, but we had that late start. And so these were January, February, March, April, May recruits. And we didn't have the opportunity to build those relationships in recruiting like we want to. This group, we sat in living rooms. We sat at high schools. We texted, we phone called, we emailed. We did everything to build these relationships because we scouted these guys out and said, we got to have it. These are our guys. These are the guys that are going to help turn the program and take us to that next level. They're seniors now. And they said yes to Dort when there was no evidence that any of this was ever going to happen, that we could actually have a conversation about being a playoff team and conference championships and those kind of things. And boy, they know and we know that for those goals to happen, there's a lot of things that have to happen this year. But this is a group that has just been so dedicated, you know, and so it's a special group. We have a tremendous leadership group this year on our team. We have 6 captains who are just clear-cut leaders and champions for industry standard football and the Defender way, and they are leading really, really well. And so the message really on Saturday, I'll give you a little preview for the pregame speech. It's, hey, jump on the backs of these captains. That's all you got to do. They're going to lead us, match their intensity, and that's it. And I feel really confident that that's our secret to success.
Do you almost have to? So we talk about, you know, leaving the jersey in a better place for the guys that follow you, for, you know, each year improving the program in one way or another. And you've been right on the precipice there of 3rd place the past 2 years in the GPAC. You talk about that senior leadership and jumping on the back of these guys and matching their intensity. Does that change the way you approach a season in terms of expectations and goals at all? Do you shape them differently when you've seen these guys, the way they've led and they've grown and the men they've become in this program?
You know, I think it's my job as the head coach, as I steward this program, to always communicate with the team what could be. And, you know, I have a picture in my head of what could be. And that's what we call vision, right? We see around the corner. By no means have I ever stood up in front of the team and said, hey, with full certainty, and I'm betting my house on it, here's what's going to happen. I'm not doing that because who knows what's going to come our way, right? But with confidence this year, I stood up in front of the team and I told them what's possible. And what's possible for this team is that every single Saturday we can compete and win every game. That's something I say once, or that's something I said once. It's not something they'll probably hear me say the rest of the year, because every year, every week, it's going to be what's in front of us now, what's in front of us now. I don't want to give them that, I guess, macro picture more than once, because really we got to take care of what's in front of us. And right off the bat, we're playing a team that it seems like every time we play Midland, you don't know who's going to win until the last minute of the game. And it's a dogfight. It's fun. It's competitive. And we've been on top. They've been on top. And so it's going to be a fun way to start the year.
Yeah, it's been kind of a hidden gem matchup, actually, among GPAC football over the last several years, with you at the helm, Jeff Jamrog, in charge of the Midland program. You ended the season with them last year. Obviously, a lot has happened in between that matchup and this game. But when you look at the Midland football program, when you go into a football game, obviously certain things are going to be different every year based on the roster. But what do you expect from a Midland football program that's been building and has been improving and has kind of been right there with your football program in terms of trying to claw into the top two in the conference?
What they do the best job at is playing upperclassmen, you know, and I'll say, till I'm blue in the face, especially at our level, one of the biggest keys to winning football games is to have experienced players in the field. And, you know, if you look at their two deep, it's junior, senior. It's been that way now for 2 or 3 years. And they graduated a huge senior class last year, and lo and behold, they got a whole bunch of seniors again. So they're doing a great job developing their team, and they play with great discipline. And so I would say they have the advantage on the how many seniors are on the field. We've got more than we've ever had, too. So that's going to be really, really helpful. But, yeah, they play disciplined football with guys who have been around for a long time.
When you look at this game, offensively, defensively, what's going to be key for you in terms of pushing the ball forward, of getting stops, of scoring touchdowns, and starting off this season with a win?
Last year, we started off with 4 3-and-outs in this game. And our defense, I thought, played well, but not good enough to overcome a 14-0 deficit that we had a hole in right away. And we clawed back, we tied it up, and then we found ourselves again, you know, 14 down, and we came back, tied it up again. So we were always answering last year. We were always responding. This year, there's not going to be responding. This year, we're going to come out, and as I've told the guys, we have to throw the first punch. We can't wait and see what they're going to do. We have to be aggressive from the get-go. And big lesson last year in our home opener was you can't warm up to playing great football teams. You got to be ready to go because they're going to be ready. And so we'll come out aggressive. We're going to come out confident with a lot of belief. We're going to come out grounded, having been through a lot already in this first month of training camp, and we're going to come out together. Can't wait to do it. We've been waiting a long time.
Hey, Coach Penner, we always appreciate your time. Best wishes to you and your team in terms of health and success moving forward. And it's so good to have football. It's great to have football back.
You're telling me. I'm with you there.
Thanks again to Coach Penner for his time here on the Defender Football Pregame Show. Thanks as well to Josh Mrazek and to Corey Westra for the GPAC Football Report. That's just about going to do it for us here on the Defender Football Pregame Show. First, to quick set the stage for today's contest, Dort University at Midland University. These two teams, identical records last year, and in terms of kind of the results on the field, not all that different. The programs in very similar spots. Midland, year 5 under coach Jeff Jamrock. Dort, year 5 under coach Joel Penner. Last year, both teams went 7-4 overall, 6-3 in conference play. But the difference last year, Midland defeating the Defenders 31-28 in Sioux Center for the season finale. Midland won last year on a 24-yard Camden Griffiths field goal with 40 seconds left. Dort, 5 turnovers in that contest, and that really was the story of the game. As Coach Penner mentioned, Dort repeatedly playing from behind, down 14-0, then 28-14, and it was just playing catch-up throughout the course of the contest. So we'll see if the Defenders can start a little quicker this time around. Under Coach Penner, the Defenders are 3-1 in season openers, winning their first 3 openers before falling to Kaiser last year. This is the first time, though, the season will open up against a GPAC opponent. Only conference games on the schedule this year for Dort this fall. And it all starts today in Fremont. I'm Christian Zylstra. This has been your Defender Football Pregame Show on KDCR 88.5 FM and KDCR88.5.com. Mike Biker is stationed in Fremont, Nebraska for this one today. So that'll do it for the pregame show. And with that, we'll go out to Mike Biker for today's contest.
Thanks a bunch, Christian Zylstra. A few minutes away from the start of this one. Dort and Midland. Midland in their orange jerseys, navy numbers trimmed in white. The Defenders in their white jerseys, black numbers trimmed in yellow. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center 88.5. We're also live on the World Wide Web, KDCR 88.5.com. Busy day for Dort Athletics. Women's volleyball team in action currently. They're playing Morningside. That match is available on our live stream channel. The men's and women's soccer teams playing a little later this afternoon as well. Men will play Northwestern in a non-conference tilt at 3:30 today. Women are on the road to La Crosse, Wisconsin, facing Viterbo at 4 o'clock this afternoon. We're having the coin toss at midfield. David Kak-Marinsky, the captain representing Dort, and you don't have the full complement of captains any longer. Just one captain for each team meets at midfield, and the Dort University defenders will be receiving the opening kickoff as we are just about a minute away from the start of this contest. Christian laid out the matchup between these two teams, and if the last 3 years are any indication, it should be a great matchup. The defenders last year beaten on a late field goal, as Coach Joel Penner said, playing catch-up throughout the contest, and they got down by two scores early, came back and tied it, got down by two scores in the second half, came back and tied it, seemed to have a little momentum, but Midland had the last possession, and if I remember correctly, had a big completion late to get them into field goal position, and they were able to knock one through the uprights with under a minute to go, and Midland escaped with a win, and both teams ended up tied for third place. 2 years ago, the Dort University defenders won on a frigid day here in Fremont, as cold as I have been at a football game, and they came away with a late victory in that one. I believe they scored with about a minute left or under a minute as well to get that victory. And then 3 years ago, Dort took a late lead, and then it was Midland coming back with a touchdown return off a kickoff, and the defenders ended up that one slipping through their fingers. We are set for the kickoff. Back to return for the defenders. You've got Carter Skibout on the far side, and it certainly looks like that is Ethan Thomas, who is on the near side. The defenders and Midland Warriors. Wasn't always sure we were going to get to this point, but we're going to play a football game this afternoon. Dort University versus Midland, and we'll be kicking off here in just a moment. Kicking off for Midland. If everything goes according to plan, this should be Jared Quinones kicking off. And we are underway with football. A high end-over-end kick that's going to be taken by Thomas at the 10. He's to the 15, to the 20. Bounces outside, and he's going to be run out of bounds at the 20-yard line. And that is Ethan Thomas, a 5'10", 195-pound sophomore from Fort Worth, Texas, with the kick return for the defenders. And it'll be first and 10 for Dort, and our first opportunity with a look at this Dort offensive unit. And we've got one change from what was originally planned, and that is Carter Skibout is in at running back. He was listed second on the two deep, but when we have a hold, did not see the flag thrown, but we've got a flag thrown on the kickoff, so that'll be a 10-yard mark off from the line of scrimmage, and it'll be back to the 10-yard line. So Dort, first and 10 at their own 10-yard line. Noah Clayburgh is the quarterback for the defenders. Levi Jungling will be lining up as a wide receiver, also lining up for the defenders. Jungling is in the slot. Got Hubelhorst on the outside, couple of familiar names. And Carter Skibout is in the backfield after earning second-team All-GPAC honors last season. Clayburgh plants, throws, complete to Jungling. Jungling near the first-down marker. And that will be close to a first-down. Looks like it might be just shy, less than a yard. It'll be second down and less than a yard. And just simply a rollout pass. Clayburgh planted through, found Jungling underneath for 9 yards. Clayburgh again, this time, I believe that's Hubelhorst on the far side. He's out to the 27-yard line. Ben Hubelhorst, that big target for the defenders, number 6, 6'5", 200-pound senior. And the defenders have the from their first down of the day out to the 29-yard line. So a gain of 10 on the play. Clayburgh barks signals, fakes the handoff, keeps it himself. He's up the middle to the 36-yard line, 37-yard line. And the defenders already, if you listen to the pregame show, It was Coach Joel Penner talking about last year, three possessions, and it was 3-3 and outs. Today, they've already picked up a first down and have moved from their own 10-yard line to their own 37. Clayburgh with the football, pitches it over to Skibout. Skibout to the corner, and Skibout is submarined right at the sideline. Looks like he's short of the first down by about a foot. It'll be third down in less than a yard. No, they're going to give him a first down. First down. Sean Johnston, the white hat today, the sheriff, he indicates that it is a first down for the defenders, so first and 10 for the defenders at their own 39-yard line. Dort going tempo with their offense. Clayburgh motions Skibout out of the backfield. Clayburgh looking over the middle. Pass is incomplete. That's intended for Heuvelhorst. Heuvelhorst locking up with, looked like the linebacker for Midland, Theo Bloom. And Bloom able to defend him and knock it away. It's second down and 10. The clock stops. 13-13 into this first, 13-13 left in the first quarter. And the defenders with it. Clayburgh pulls it, plants, moves upfield. And Clayburgh picks up 5 yards on the play, dodging his way forward. Ran to the left and then followed his tackle and guard. Found a seam and was able to pick up 5 yards. Didn't look like much. He picks up five. It'll be third and five. Dort at their own 44. They need the 49 for a first down. Michael Sonderman now in the ballgame. So Dort going with two running backs. Last play, they motion Skibout out of the backfield. Sonderman is behind Clayburgh. Sonderman picks up a blitzer. Clayburgh scrambling, still on his feet. Gets away from a tackler. He's still on his feet. Dodges to the 40. Has to fight to get back to the original line of scrimmage on that play and the original line of scrimmage on the set of downs, and the defenders will be forced to punt. Sonderman picked up the blitzer, but that wreaked havoc. Somehow Clayburgh was able to shake a tackler, and Noah Clayburgh, other than a loss of 7 or 8 on the play, is able to struggle back and get back to the original line of scrimmage for the series of downs. And now Dort will be punting from their own 40-yard line. Midland set to return. Noah Clayburgh with the punt. Gets the snap. Has to go airborne to get it. A line drive kick takes the Dort bounce at the 30. Inside the 20. At the 15. And the defenders with pretty good coverage that time. And there's nothing there. And racing down the field and making the tackle for the defenders. That was, believe, Abraham Stowes. Stowes, also the starting safety for the defenders today. So he makes the tackle, and it'll be Midland football, first down and 10 at their own 15-yard line. So Midland with the football, and for Midland, their quarterback is Eric Stewart. Stewart in the pistol, sends a man in motion. Stewart turns, hands, gives to, I believe that's going to be Max Wold. See if it is actually number 26 that gets up off of the bottom of the pile. He does. It'll be second down and 9. Second and 9 for the defenders. Defensive tackle, Jessup Leakey, in on that stop. Stewart rolling right after the snap. Has a man open. Pass into the seam is complete. Treshman on the tackle out to the 36-yard line, and that's more than enough for a Midland first down. So Midland with the catch. That's Austin Harris. Harris out to the 36-yard line. And the defenders on defense, they hand it off to Wold. Wold, nothing there. He's stacked up at the line of scrimmage. A gang tackle by the defenders. And so Wold stopped for no gain on the play, and that's going to be a tackle by Stowes again. Stowes from Mountain Lake, Minnesota, 5'11", 180 pounds. He's a freshman. Back to pass, Stewart. Stewart, pass, incomplete. And that was intended for Midland's Grayson Skrebecki. Skrebecki unable to shake the corner on the coverage. That was Grant Hickson. Hickson, new name. He's a 5'9", 165-pound freshman from Indianola, Iowa, out of the CIML. Third down and 10 for the Midland Warriors. Midland, Stewart, back to pass, under pressure, dumps it underneath, and the defenders able to stop the receiver short of the first down by at least a yard. It's going to be fourth down at their own 45-yard line, and Midland thinking about it here, facing fourth down and two. Fourth and two for the Midland Warriors, and they're not going to roll the dice yet. Pretty significant gamble here if they go for it. Instead, Matt Juergensmeyer will be on to punt, and Nathan Kabanga will be deep for the defenders. Almost has a basketball pace to it early on. Lots of things happening very quickly here. 9:49 left to play in the first quarter. We're scoreless, Midland and Dort. Juergensmeyer puts his foot into it. Line of scrimmage was the 46. It takes a Midland bounce inside the 20 and rolls out of bounds at the 16. So Dort will take over first down and 10, and so far it's been Midland winning the battle for field position. Midland able to pick up a first down. Moved out from their own 15. Forced to punt. Now pin Dort back at their own 16 to start. Mitchell Van Regenmorter hovering over the football, the center for the defenders. Junior from Morris, Iowa. Clayburg has two backs in the backfield. They motion Skibout out of the backfield. They hand it off to Sonderman. Sonderman up the middle, picks up two on the play. It's going to be second down and eight. Second down and 8 yards to go. Tackle made by Amori Garcia. Skibout checks out of the contest for the time being. Clayburg sends a man in motion out of the backfield. Clayburg on a straight keep trying to get to the edge. And on the sweep, he is forced out of bounds. Sonderman is lead tackler that time, but coming up from a safety spot reading the play was Midland's Courtney Chandler. Chandler, the safety on run support, knocks him out of bounds. It'll be third down and five. Third and five for the defenders. 8:39 and counting. First quarter of play, we're scoreless between Dort and Midland. In volleyball play at the DeWitt Gym, Dort leading Morningside 1-0 and 10-8 in set number two. Clayburg, one single setback. They send Raffy Carr in motion. Back to passes Clayburg, and we've got a flag on the play. And I'm going to guess that's going to be a procedure penalty against the defenders. Sean Johnston. And we had a false start on the play, and that's going to turn it from a third and five to a third and ten. Third and ten for the defenders at their own 13-yard line. Clayburg has a receiver to the right. That's Bolden. That's Eli Bolden there. Rolling left is Clayburg. Clayburg plants, throws, has Jungling, overshoots him at the 45-yard line. Jungling had to go airborne for that at his own 45-yard line. Would have been a 35-yard pickup. Instead, pass falls incomplete, clock stops, and the defenders will be forced to punt. So three and out on that series, and Midland will get the football back. And the Midland Warriors, their return man cheating up to the 40-yard line, Darren Gentry. Clayburg will punt this one from his goal line. And Clayburg gets his foot into it, drives it over the head of Gentry. Gentry tracking after it. He'll take it at his own 28. Gentry and good lane responsibility that time by Carter Skibout. Skibout stayed committed, didn't chase the ball carrier, instead allowed his teammates to funnel him back to the middle of the field, and there was Skibout to make the tackle on special teams, and Midland will take over first down and 10 at their own 31-yard line. Stewart is the quarterback, three receivers set to his right. Midland is moving from right to left from my vantage point. Handoff to Wald. Wald still on his feet. Pursuit, and Mrazek is going to finish him off, and Dort's defense rallies to the football. It's going to be second down and 9. Second and 9 with 7:35 remaining here in the first quarter. We're scoreless. We're going to give him a 2-yard pickup on the play. That was generous. It'll be second and 8. Stewart, the quarterback. Near side receiver for Midland. That's going to be Grayson Skrabecki. Skrabecki working against Hickson. We'll see what Stewart calls here. Motions man out of the backfield. And that's Wold. Lofts it over the middle. Passes intercepted by Jalen Placide. No. Placide had it in his mitts, and the senior from Oakland, California, unable to hang on to it. Falls out of his hands at midfield, and it'll be third down. Oh, Jalen would have loved to have that one back. Instead, it'll be third down and long. Placide read it. Midland just lofted it. That was Stewart lofting it over the middle, and a lot of air under it, and Placide, starting safety for the defenders, had interception number 1 in and out of his hands. Stewart under pressure. Stewart scrambling and nothing there. Colin Ostenink takes him down behind the line of scrimmage. A loss of 2 on the play. It'll be fourth down. And the Dort defense forces Midland into a punting situation on a 3-and-out. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. Matt Juergensmeyer on to punt for the defender for the Warriors. Back to return is Kabongo. Let's see if Nathan Kabongo can give Dort a little better field position. He's about 35 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. Juergensmeyer will punt. His line drive fielded by Kabongo at the 40 on the line. And Kabongo trying to fight his way forward. Nathan Kabongo that time saved about 20 yards or so, I would say. That line drive kick, he fields it at the 40, struggles forward to the 44-yard line. Good coverage that time by Midland. Sometime on those line drive kicks, the special teams coverage is unable to get down the field and translate that into a good punt. This time, they limited Kabongo to just 4 yards, but a shift in field position for the defenders. They'll start at their own 44. That's about 34 yards better than their last possession. Handoff up the middle to Skibout. Skibout, not much there. No, Sonderman, beg your pardon. Michael Sonderman, sophomore from Idaho, came on strong at the end of the year last year. Charlie Young also in the game for this series. Clayburg. And we've got player on the far side breaking the line of scrimmage. Alex Hoisman, starting left tackle for the defenders, came up out of his stance. And he was drawn off. So a 5-yard penalty against Midland. It'll be second down and 5. Make no mistake about it, the defender offensive linemen are coached. When a player comes beyond the ball, they come out of their stance immediately. Hand off to Sonderman. I believe that was Sonderman. Nope, it was 38, Charlie Young. Charlie Young on the carry for the defenders. That's enough for a first down, and the defenders are in Midland territory for the first time today. 5:30 left to play first quarter. We're scoreless, Dort and Midland. First and 10 for the defenders. Clayburg sends a man in motion. Hands it off to Sonderman. Sonderman trying to find an offensive, trying to find a seam, and ends up just following his center and guard on the left side of the line. Picks up maybe a yard on the play. It'll be second down and 9. Second and 9, 4:57 and counting, first quarter. Football resting at the Midland 45-yard line. So far, the defenses have made the plays when they've needed to. Fake the handoff to Sonderman. Pass is complete to Jungling. Jungling at the 35-yard line stakes out just enough territory for another Dort University first down. He's at the 35-yard line. That's a gain of 9 on the play before he's forced out of bounds. Jungling working against Crash Woodley, the cornerback Clayburgh hands it off. Sonderman spun down at the 30-yard line. That'll be a gain of 5 on the play, and it'll be second down and 5. Second and 5 for the defenders, 4:17 remaining. First quarter of play. Glad to have you along with me on this Saturday afternoon from Fremont, Nebraska. Beautiful sun-drenched field. Temperatures comfortable for me up in the press box. Might be getting a little warmer down on the field turf here at Heatham Field. Clayburgh fakes the handoff. He's going to run option on the left side. Has a seam. He's to the 20, 15, 10, and tripped up at the 9-yard line. It's a first down for the defenders, and they've got it first down and 10 at the 7-yard line. Noah Clayburgh keeps it himself after the fake handoff up the middle. He kept it. Had the option pitch man, decided against it as he was able to plant his foot and go up the field on the far sideline, and he's tripped up. Thought he might go, but he's tripped up at the 7. It'll be first down and goal to go for the defenders. Clayburgh follows his offensive line, spins away from one tackler, falls forward to the 5-yard line. Pickup of 3 on the play. It'll be second and goal from the 5. Second and goal to go from the 5. 3:10 and counting here in the first quarter. Neither team has been able to break the zeros on the scoreboard up to this point. Dort is threatening. Second down and goal to go from the 5. Man in motion, left to right is Carr. Clayburgh, straight keep. He's going to plant, and he is brought down at the line of scrimmage. Actually, a loss of 1 on the play, and it'll be third down and goal to go at the 6. Let's see what Dort offensively pulls out of their bag of tricks here. You've got jungling to the near side. You're going to line Carr up in a slot. You've got Hubelhorst. Hubelhorst 6'5", and he can jump. Might want to go to him over there. He's being defended by 5'9", Joey Martin. Let's see if Dort goes to that lob play, that fade. Clayburgh looking under pressure. Has room to run. He's got one man to beat, racing to the corner. Touchdown, defenders. So the Dort defenders, Noah Clayburgh, scrambling into the end zone, wins the foot race to the corner, and the defenders are on the board first, 6-0, with 2:13 remaining here in the first quarter. On to attempt the point after is Brett Zachman. Zachman, great freshman year as a place kicker. And he is lining this one up. He'll kick it out of the hold of Tyler Reynolds. So Zachman, snap is down, kick is up, and Zachman's kick is good. And the defenders take a 7-0 lead. 7-0 our score. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. We're also live on the World Wide Web, KDCR885.com. Back with more from Heatham Field in Fremont, Nebraska, right after this. The defenders will be kicking off after that scoring drive. 2:13 left to play in the first quarter. Dort leading 7-0. Zachman with the kick. Drives the return man all the way back to the goal line. And brought down at the 15-yard line. The return by Midlands. Andrew Miller. And it'll be first down and 10, beg your pardon, that's a 9 rather than an 8. That's going to be Garcia. Garcia brought down at the 16-17-yard line. It's going to be the 17. It'll be first down and 10 for the Warriors at their own 17-yard line. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. So Midland starting at their own 17. And Stewart is the quarterback. He hands it off to Wold. Maximus Wold. Short gain on the play. Tackle made by the defenders. Jessup Leakey. Leakey, pursuit that time. Able to make the tackle. It'll be second down and 8. Second and 8. Darren Gentry is to the near side. Midland going to a bunch formation. Looks like they're double tight. Double tight with Wold.
the tailback, or the running back. So Gentry to the near side, working against Kabongo. Back to pass is Stewart. Stewart plants, throws across his body. This one's going to be in and out of the hands of Jalen Placide again. And again at the 50-yard line, Jalen Placide very nearly comes up with an interception, but we've got one of those pesky, pesky flags at the 14-yard line. It's either going to be roughing the passer or a holding penalty. Flag is at the 14-yard line. Judging by the body language, this one's going to be against Midland. We'll wait and see. Sean Johnston looking over to the sideline, waiting for Dort. Oh, we have a chop block. I gave you two options. That's the third one. That's what I get for trying to be the mind reader. And it's going to be third down and eight. So Dort will take the down and the result of the down rather than the penalty yards. You can argue that one both ways. Probably not a right answer to it. Outcome of this play will probably determine if it was the right answer or not. The life of a coach. Stewart in the pistol. 1:18 remaining. First quarter of play. Dort leading 7-0. Dort sideline making some noise. Midland sends a man in motion. Third and long. Back to pass Stewart. He flares it out to the near side. And a completion. That's enough for a first down, just barely. Out to the 30-yard line. So that's a gain of 10 on the play. It'll be first and 10 for the Warriors. And just very simple. They flared it out to the running back out of the backfield. And that was not Wold. That was Keenan Smith. So Wold is in now. Smith with that pass, catch and run. And it's now first and 10 for the Warriors at their own 30. Working away from their own end of the field. Started at their own 17-yard line. They hand it off to Wold. Wold trying to get outside. Slowed up at the line of scrimmage. And good pursuit that time by the defenders. And Bryce Christians. Bryce Christians announcing his arrival. The 5'11", 195-pound freshman from Cedar Park, Texas. Spins the ball carrier down. Loss of two on the play. That's a tackle for a loss for the freshman. And that'll bring up second down and 12. Second and 12, very conservative. They hand it off to Wold again, and Wold fighting his way forward to the 33-yard line. So he battles forward for a five-yard gain on the play. And it's going to be third down and 7. Very similar to a situation we had moments ago where Midland was able to convert on a short pass. And that's the end of the first quarter. Our score, Dort 7, Midland 0. Midland with a football. We'll swap ends of the field. Back with more after this. This is Dort Football on KDCR. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. We're also live on the World Wide Web, KDCR885.com. Through the first quarter, Dort leads 7-0. Dort has outgained Midland 102-48 thus far. Noah Clayburgh, 53 yards rushing. And he's completed four passes for 35 yards. For Midland, Keenan Smith, two carries for 6 yards so far. Stewart has completed three passes for 39 yards. Stewart under pressure. Flushed from the pocket, and Colin Ostenink forces a fumble. The football is loose. It's at the 20. Dort says they have it. Josh Mrazek was the first man to say it's Dort football, and it is. Colin Ostenink knocking the football loose. Fumble recovery by Thomas McComber. And the Dort defenders with it in Midland territory at the 20-yard line. So the defenders pressuring the quarterback. And it was Colin Ostenink, the senior from Hull, knocking the ball loose. And Thomas McComber came on to recover it. And the defenders with it first and 10 at the 20. Clayburgh. Pitches, right side, Skibout to the edge, turns up on the numbers, he's inside the 10, and picks up a first down. A sophomore from Orange City, Iowa, pride and joy of the Unity football program. Inside the 10, down to the 9. Clayburgh has Skibout to his left, no receivers to the left, a lot of room to run, hands it off. This is Sonderman, I believe. Sonderman up the middle. A little bit of room, but not much. And Michael Sonderman, the sophomore from Idaho, came on strong at the end of the year last year. He's from Nampa. It'll be second and goal now from the 8. Second and goal from the 8. Defenders leading 7-0, but looking for more. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Clayburgh in the pistol, fakes the handoff, reverse jungling, trying to get to the corner. He's going to turn, and he is forced out of bounds. And he's back to the line of scrimmage, and that's about it. He could never get to the edge and turn it upfield. So just a one-yard gain on the play for jungling, and it's going to be third down and goal to go, this time at the 7-yard line. So third and goal to go at the 7. Love to get 7 if you're the defenders here. They're going to empty the backfield. You've got Skibout, Carr, jungling to the right, Hubelhorst to the left. On the line of scrimmage, your offensive line for the defenders. You've got Hoisman on the near side at the tackle. Parker Beck is your left guard, I think. Lob play. And coming away with it is Hubelhorst, and Hubelhorst able to shake free from the defensive player. And that's the mismatch we talked about on Dort's first touchdown, where Clayburgh was able to run it in. This time, Dort uses the 6'5", Ben Hubelhorst, to their advantage, and Hubelhorst catches the ball in the end zone, shaking free from his cornerback, and he makes it a 13-0 lead on the completion from Noah Clayburgh. Brett Zachman on to try and make it a 14-0 ball game. Zachman, snap is down, kick is up, and the kick is good, and it won't show up in the box score, but Tyler Reynolds took that one from about helmet height, a little bit higher than that, took it, put it on the ground, and Zachman splits the uprights, and the defenders lead at 14-0. 14-0 our score. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88-5, 13-18 remaining in the first period. Back with more after this. 13-18 remaining here in the first half. Dort leading 14-0. Brett Zachman kicking off. And Zachman, a line drive that's going to be taken at the 11-yard line, out to the 15, to the 20, and that is all coverage by Michael Sonderman. Sonderman, starting running back for the defenders, also on special teams, and he brings the ball carrier Keenan Smith down. Starting field position for Midland, their own 19-yard line. So Dort trail leading 14-0. Stewart sends a man in motion for the Warriors. Dort's defense able to force a turnover on the last possession. Pass complete to the near side on the sideline. And that pass is completed to Gentry. Gentry, a 10-yard pickup on the play. So a first down out near the 30-yard line. And the Midland Warriors, Eric Stewart, sends a man in motion. That's Gentry. Hands it off to Gentry. Gentry trying to get to the edge and nothing there. Shoestring tackle that time by Dort's Grant Hickson. Hickson makes the tackle. No gain on the play. It's second down and 10. Second and 10. Hickson lining up. I think he was lined up at a linebacker. Now he'll drop down in coverage in the slot, Will Hickson, for the defenders. Stewart, back to pass, looking to the sideline, and they're going to take a shot over the top, and the pass falls incomplete. And that time, Midland trying to give Dort a dose of their own medicine, trying to pick on Jalen Placide, intended receiver Austin Harris. Now Harris listed 6'2", certainly looks taller than that. Pass falls incomplete as he and Placide get in a hand fight. No flag on the play. It'll be third down and 10. Football at the 29-yard line. So Midland facing third down and long. Pass falls incomplete. So it stops the clock with 12:15 left to play here in this first half. Dort leading 14-0. Back to pass. Rolling right is Stewart. Stewart plants, throws. They're going to take another shot over the top. Placide trying to break it up, and it's completed. And into the end zone. Touchdown, Midland. And the Warriors are on the board with a 71-yard touchdown strike to Darren Gentry. Placide tried to play to break it up, played the ball and leapt, but taking it away was Darren Gentry, and Gentry into the end zone untouched, and Midland is on the board, trailing 14-6. 14-6, our score. Placide has had a couple of plays where he's had a chance at interceptions, and now on that play, played the ball. And just unable to break it up. Gentry did a nice job of staying with it. And once he had it in his hands, there was nobody over the top. And that translates into a 14-6 score. Midland trailing by 8, but trying to cut into the lead. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. We're also live on the World Wide Web, KDCR885.com. So Midland will try for the point after here. And Midland will send Will Wagner onto the field, and Midland will line up four players around the football. And they're going to go for two here. Wagner is going to roll right. Wagner under pressure. Wagner pass into the end zone. And was he inbounds? He was. Two-point conversion. So a two-point conversion, but do we have a flag on the play? Let's wait and see what the play call is or what the penalty flag is. And so an ineligible receiver downfield. So take the two-point conversion off of the scoreboard. And now Midland will be faced with, that's a 5-yard penalty. And Midland will now try for the point after. Midland. This is this is 98, number 98 for Midland. That's Quinones. Quinones, point after is up and through, and it's 14-7. Midland on the scoreboard. Dort receiving the kick when we're back right after this. High end-over-end kick taken by the defenders and Ethan Thomas. Thomas brings it out from his own 15-yard line. Out beyond the 30 to the 32 before he's brought down. It'll be first and 10 for the defenders at their own 34-yard line. So Dort had a 14-0 lead. Now Midland is on the board, trailing 14-7 after that big play. Defenders had done a pretty good job defensively of stopping things at the line of scrimmage. Midland with that big play. Clayburgh pass to Carr. Carr, first down. 13-yard pickup on the play before Rafi Carr is brought down. Carr is a 5'8", 165-pound junior from Santee, California. And Noah Clayburgh empties the backfield again. Send a man in motion. That's Skibout. Skibout trying to get to the edge, and Skibout that time brought down by the cornerback. And making the tackle for Midland. That was Joey Martin. Martin with the tackle, and that's a loss of 5 on the play. It's second and 15. Skibout behind Clayburgh. Now they motion him out of the backfield. Pass is complete. And with the catch and run, Dort's tight end, Hayden Large. Hayden Large, an 11-yard pickup on the play. It'll be third down and four. Third and four. Dort in Midland territory at the 46-yard line. And now we have movement. They're going to call false start on Dort. Defensive end was able to get back on side. And so now instead of third and four, it's going to be third down and nine. Well, it appears the Dort volleyball team is going to take win over Morningside. They're leading 20-11 in set number three after winning sets one and two, 25-22 and 25-16. 10:37 and counting. First half of football, Dort leading 14-7. Back to pass is Clayburg. Clayburg passes, picked off by linebacker, and with the forced out of bounds at the 40 after the return, and picking it off is Zach Akamo. Akamo with the interception and return into Dort territory at the 40-yard line. Clayburg had Skibout open on the near sideline as he came out of the backfield. Instead, threw it into coverage. Would have been enough for a first down if could have made the completion, but three players there in Akamo after a two-interception season last year picks one off in the middle of the field and rumbles into Dort territory at the 40, and Midland is now threatening again in Dort territory. Handoff, and not much there for the Warriors. And Keenan Smith. Smith, second down and eight. So gain of a couple on the play. I think that was Treshman on the tackle. It'll be second down and eight. Football at the 38. Need the 30 for a first down. Handoff weaving his way forward and following the offensive line surge is Keenan Smith again. And Smith inside the 30 down to the 29. That's enough for a Midland University first down. So Midland, after falling behind 14-0, has regrouped using an interception to set up good field position here, just like Dort did for their second score. They used a fumble recovery. Set up a short field. Midland now threatening. In Dort territory. Hand off to Smith. Smith tackled by Mrazek. Mrazek on the tackle along with Bryce Christians. Little or no gain on the play. And it'll be second down and 10. Second and 10. Eric Stewart fakes the handoff, flush from the pocket, and nothing there. Stewart met at the line of scrimmage by Jessup Leakey and makes it third down and 10. No gain on the play that time for Stewart. Third down and 10 yards to go. Dort leading 14-7. Big play coming here. Midland might be in four down territory here at the 29-yard line. Be a substantial field goal try if they don't get a first down here. Back to pass, rolling right, Stewart. Stewart, pass is knocked away, incomplete. Closing fast was Dort's Grant Hickson. Hickson knocks it away. It'll be fourth down. Fourth down and 10 from the 29. Obviously off the table is punting. Field goal try from here would be a 47-yarder. Probably just go for it. Midland with it. Fourth down and 10 at the 29. Dort leading 14-7. 8:11 left to play in this first half. Back to pass, Stewart. Stewart throws towards the sideline, and the pass falls incomplete. Dort will take over on downs at their own 29-yard line. So Midland caught in no man's land, really. 29-yard line, you have very little opportunity. There's no sense in punting. Probably out of the range of your field goal kicker on a slightly breezy day. And you go for it on fourth down, and Dort able to play the pass. Falls incomplete. It'll be Dort football, first down and 10 at their own 29-yard line. 8:06 remaining in the first half. Dort leading 14-7. And this is Reynolds. Reynolds in at quarterback. Reynolds pitches it over to Noah Clayburgh. And Clayburgh on the carry. So you've got Tyler Reynolds in at quarterback now for the defenders. Lining Clayburgh up as a running back. And so jungling is to the near side. Reynolds hands it off to Clayburgh. Clayburgh trying to get to the edge. Plants and spins and is stood up at the 34-yard line. 3-yard gain on the play. It'll be third down and 5. Third and 5, Sedort juggling up the personnel a little bit on this series. You got Reynolds in at quarterback. You're lining Clayburgh up to his left. Back to pass is Reynolds. Reynolds to Clayburgh, and Clayburgh stumbles and falls as he catches it. Hopefully he gets up. He does. Walks off of the field under his own power. Kind of came down awkwardly, and he's going to stay on and punt. Sedort showing a little different look that time on that series of downs and unable to generate the offense to sustain a drive, and now we'll be punting. Saw Dort do a little bit of that last year, just trying to get Noah on the field a little bit more or give him a few different opportunities. Clayburgh punting, line of scrimmage is the 34, gets away a wobbler, it's to the 27-yard line. Runs into his own blocker, still on his feet, and we've got a flag on the play. Flag thrown on the play, right where the return man is brought down, Garcia. And the flag is at the 34, as is the football, and the initial indication is a penalty against Midland. So we have a block in the back. By the way, Dort winning in volleyball today. Going to 3-0 for the year. With a win today over Morningside Mustangs. We'll take a closer look at that at halftime. So Midland with the football, first down and 10 at their own 23. Stewart is your quarterback, sends a man in motion, hands it off, and Wald the ball carrier. And Dort says they have a football. David Kakmarinski comes up with it, but they say the ball carrier was down. So Max Wald, ball carrier, loss of 2, it's 2nd and 12. 2nd and 12, man in motion, pitch it to Wald, Stewart on the pitch to Wald, and Wald nothing there. Dort rallies to the football, and that's going to be another loss on the play for Midland. Loss of a couple, it's going to be 3rd down and long. So Wald thrown for a 4-yard loss. Make that a 5-yard loss on the play. It's going to be 3rd down and 17. 5:18 remaining here in the first half. Dort leading 14-7. Trying to get the football back. Swing the field position battle. And Midland facing 3rd down and long. Wald still in the backfield with Stewart. 2 receivers to the near side, 1 to the far side. Midland moving left to right. Stewart, nothing there, and David Kakmarinski with the quarterback sack. The senior from Pella drops Stewart for an 8-yard loss on the play. And it's going to be fourth down and long, and Midland that time ends up losing, well, not quite 15 yards, 12 yards on that set of downs. And Dort should get the football in pretty good field position. Nathan Cabango stationed at the Midland 44-yard line awaiting the punt. So Cabango, senior from Plano, Texas. And the rugby-style kick. Cabango calls for a fair catch at the 50. And he makes the fair catch. And it'll be first down and 10 for the defenders at the midfield stripe. So Dort, after the fair catch by Cabango, it'll be first and 10 at midfield. So Clayburg will be quarterbacking. And Clayburg fakes the handoff, rolling right. Pass is incomplete, intended for jungling on the far side. Would have been a gain of 9 on the play. Instead, the ball falls incomplete. Charlie Young and Michael Sonderman are your running backs. Offensive line for the defenders. Left guard, I believe that's Simnatcher. Then Reagan Mortar is your center. Looking over to the sideline. Dort getting the play call. Right guard is a freshman. That's Parker back from Spirit Lake. Second down and 10. And Sonderman, the ball carrier. Sonderman, nothing there. It'll be third down. So third down and long. So nothing there for Sonderman. And with 3:40 left to play in the half, Dort leading 14-7. Now you want to sustain the drive. Obviously you'd love to score, but you also want to sustain a drive. Keep the ball away from Midland one last time before the half. They can steal a possession, if you will, because they'll get the kickoff to start the second half. Back to pass is Clayburg. Clayburg tucks it and runs. And Clayburg is brought down at the 47-yard line. Not much there that time, and this is turning into a defensive battle. Tackle made by Midland's Connor Smith. And Midland will use the timeout to preserve the clock. Can't get that time back, so they will call a timeout. 3:07 left to play in the half. They'll preserve the clock. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5, Dort punting when we resume play right after this. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. We're also live on the World Wide Web, KDCR885.com. And Noah Clayburg punting. And Noah, a high towering kick taken at the 13-yard line to the 20, bounces to the outside to the 25, and driven out of bounds near the 30-yard line. It'll be first and 10 for the Warriors at their own 30-yard line. 2:55 left to play in this first half, Dort leading 14-7. Earlier today at the DeWitt Gym, Dort volleyball, that is, victorious over Morningside, 25-22, 25-16, and 25-17. Next up for the Defender women, they'll be traveling to Orange City to take on preseason favorite Northwestern Tuesday night at the Boltman Center. 2:55 left to play. First half of action, Dort leading 14-7. Quarterback is Eric Stewart for Midland. Sends a man in motion from left to right. Turns, fakes the handoff. Throws over the top, and it's incomplete, intended on the play for the Midland Warriors and Dalton Tremaine. Tremaine wanted a penalty flag. No call forthcoming. And head coach Jeff Jamrog lobbying for his receiver over on the near sideline. Pass falls incomplete. It is Second down and 10. Second and 10. Rolling right is Stewart. Stewart had a man open. He does underneath, and the pass is complete for a six-yard pickup on the play. Stepping out of bounds is River Walker. Gain of 7. It'll be 3rd and 3. Midland with it at their own 37-yard line. 2:40 and counting. First half. Midland trying to keep the drive alive. 3rd down and 3. Movement along the line of scrimmage. Free play for the Warriors. And the pass is complete to Walker. They're going to decline the penalty, and they will have it in Dort territory at the 35-yard line. That pass completed over the top of Nathan Cabongo. Cabongo on the coverage, but Walker that is Quentin Ternus. Ternus, that was 12 instead of 11 on that reception. So Ternus. And with 2:27 left to play in the half, now Midland threatening, trying to tie it up before we get to the halftime. First and 10 for Midland. Indoor territory at the 35-yard line. Send a man in motion out of the backfield. That's Smith. Stewart, pass is incomplete and getting in behind the coverage. And that might have been 6 if the pass is on the money. Instead, Skrabecki unable to reel it in. Pass falls incomplete. It's 2nd down. So 2nd down and 10 yards to go. Back to pass is Stewart. Stewart dumps it underneath. And the pass is complete to Keenan Smith. And that's enough for a Midland first down. First and 10 for Midland. Indoor territory at the 24. Stewart dodges a tackler, throws it towards the sideline, and the pass falls incomplete. Treshman on the coverage. Very nearly coming up with a fingertip catch was Jordell Lacey on the sideline. Pass is incomplete. It's 2nd down and 10. 2nd and 10. Our score. And Eric Stewart. Back to pass. Stewart slings it towards the goal line. Incomplete. And it'll be 3rd down. 3rd down and 10 at the Dort 23-yard line. 1:45 left to go in the half. So 3rd down and 10. So 3rd down and 10. Clock has stopped, so not the urgency for Midland. Play clock is down to 9. Now 6, 3, 2, and they're going to get it off just before. No, they will not. It's at 0. Why are you not throwing the flag? Do they use a timeout or not? So a timeout charge to Midland. Play clock was winding down. And they did not get the play in that they wanted, so now they're going to call the timeout, save themselves from the 5-yard penalty. And it'll be 3rd down and 10 when we resume play right after this. This is Dort Football on KDCR. 1:45 left to play in the first half. Dort leading 14-7. Midland threatening, though. 3rd down and 10 at the Dort 23-yard line. Midland used their final timeout of the half. Stewart back to pass. Stewart throws it towards the sideline, underthrows his intended receiver, and that'll bring up fourth down and 10 again at the Dort 23-yard line. This would be a 40-yard field goal attempt. Similar situation, a little further out. Midland declined the field goal opportunity, and it appears they will do so once again. They're out of timeouts, 20 seconds on the play clock, 1:40 on the game clock, and the clock has stopped after the incomplete pass. It's fourth down and 10 now at the Dort 23-yard line. David Kaczmarinski, Colin Ostenink on the near side defensively. Stewart has a man in the backfield with him. That is Smith. And Stewart is brought down. Quarterback sack for the defenders. Coming up with a play on the defense for Dort, that was Thomas McComber. McComber with the quarterback sack. And now the defenders have it with 1:36 remaining in all three of their timeouts. 1:36 left to play in the half. Midland is out of timeouts. So obviously a situation, well, you're at your own 30-yard line. You've got to go 70 yards. Do you have a big play or two in you here to swing things into your favor? You're leading 14-7. Midland's going to have the football to start the second half. Klaberg scrambling to the right, and Klaberg is forced out of bounds, and Noah knocked out of bounds at the 29-yard line, so a loss of one on the play. It'll be second and 11. Second and 11. Klaberg has Skibout behind him, then Reagan Mortar with a snap. They flare it out to Skibout. Skibout to the 30. Falls forward to the 35-yard line. Gains 7 on the play. It's going to be third down and 5. And the defenders will use a timeout. Timeout on the field. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. Back with more in a moment. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. It'll be third and 5 for the defenders at their own 35-yard line. There's 1:19 remaining in this first half. You pick up a first down here, it changes things dramatically for the defenders in that you don't have to really manage the clock any longer. You can run what you want on your next three plays, and don't have to worry about the fact that Midland is going to get the ball back with a great deal of time to work with. You don't get it here, though, and the clock stops. Now Midland still has some time to work with. Back to pass, Klaberg. Klaberg's pass intended for Carr. And the pass falls incomplete, and with 1:15 remaining in the half, the defenders will be forced to punt. They'll give the ball back to Midland, and Midland might have enough time to put some pressure on again here before the half comes to a close. 1:15 left to play. Now Midland is out of timeouts, but there are ways you can manage the clock, obviously, without using timeouts. Back to return for Midland is Darren Gentry. He's at his own 30-yard line. Line of scrimmage is Dort's 35. Klaberg, a high end-over-end kick. Gentry will take it at his 24-yard line. Gentry has a seam, slips out of one tackler, and is brought down on the sideline. It'll be first and 10 for Midland near midfield. So 1:02 remaining. Gentry was able to split the coverage and then raced another 20 yards or so. He was out of bounds at the 46. And so now Midland has it, first down and 10 at their own 46, out of timeouts. They turn, hand, give to Maximus Wold. Wold stopped for a short gain on the play. Under a minute to go now. Midland, they look to the sideline. See if he can break something off here. Second down and 8, still in their own territory. Send Wold out of the backfield. Stewart steps up in the pocket, now scrambling to the left. Pass is complete to Wold, and Wold is brought down by David Kaczmarinski after he picks up a first down to the Dort 41-yard line. 31 seconds, and the clock stops momentarily as they reset the sticks. It's first down and 10 for Midland, 25 seconds remaining. And we had movement on the left side of the line. Pass is complete to the 20-yard line. Another first down, 16 seconds remaining. And now Midland will get set. 15 seconds, and they spike it. So they'll kill the clock at 13 seconds remaining. And they're now in within striking distance at the 30. Out of timeouts, but they've got 13 seconds on the clock. All likelihood they can run two plays. Incomplete pass. Or a pass to the sideline. Potentially stops the clock. They run something up the middle or get tackled in bounds. The half probably comes to an end. 13 seconds. Stewart back to pass. Stewart's going to step up in the pocket. He's going to scramble. Passes underneath. Incomplete. Might have been a couple holding penalties there in the middle of the field. No calls made. And that takes 6 seconds off of the clock. And now Midland with one last opportunity to score here before the half comes to a close. Don't think they've got enough time to run two plays unless you can get something to the sideline and then step out of bounds. Chew off another 5 to 10 yards with a play like that and then be that much closer. It's third down and 10 at the Dort 30-yard line. Stewart back to pass. Stewart throws it towards the end zone, and it is incomplete, and there's still 1 second remaining. So 1 second still remaining. Midland will have one more play on fourth down and 10. This would be a 47-yard field goal try, very similar to two other distances that they elected to go for it, so... And they're into a breeze here this afternoon. 1 second remaining, out of timeouts. Midland will run one more play. In the backfield with Stewart is Smith. Stewart back to pass, under pressure. Throws towards the end zone, and it's caught. No, did he catch it? He did not. It was knocked away by Jalen Placide. So Placide knocks it away. Looked like it was caught in the end zone, but before he could get both feet down in the end zone, Jalen Placide knocks it away, and the defenders dodge a bullet to end the half. Our score, Dort 14, Midland 7. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. Back with more from halftime, including our Where Are They Now segment right after this.
I'm Christian Zylstra, and welcome back to Where Are They Now? Here on KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5 FM, and KDCR88.5.com. Where Are They Now? Is made possible by Farmers Mutual Insurance Association of Hull, a Grinnell Mutual member, providing property protection to Northwest Iowa farmers and homeowners since 1886. Trust in tomorrow. In the past, Where Are They Now? Has been more specifically tied to people who were athletes at Dort. But what about people who have become coaches? So this year on Where Are They Now will include coaches for our interviews, and that includes our subject today. Our guest today for Where Are They Now is Larry Hessing. Hessing is a Dort alumnus, member of the class of 1976, and he had a legendary run as the head boys basketball coach at Pella Christian. So without further ado, joining me here on Where Are They Now is the former Pella Christian boys basketball coach, Larry Hessing. Let's go back to kind of before you first stepped on campus as a student at Dort. For those who don't know you or don't know your background, where did you grow up and how were you first introduced to Dort?
I'm a farm kid from southwest of Oskaloosa, and I went to Oskaloosa Christian Grade School and Oskaloosa Senior High School, but through my church in Oskaloosa and just from friends who had gone to Dort. So that's kind of where I heard of it, and then as I got to be a senior in high school and I started thinking about where I might want to go to college, I thought and weighed whether I wanted to go to a smaller private school, Christian college, and pursue education, or whether I should go to a larger university and maybe think about engineering. But I think it was definitely the Lord's leading that got me towards education. I liked school. I liked kids. I liked sports. So what better thing to go into than education?
When you were thinking about those two, what was it that set education apart and made you decide this is the way I want to go?
Well, coming out of high school, I'm not sure that I was totally set on it, but I knew I enjoyed mathematics and school and just the general environment of being around children and kids. I think I had shown through some work experiences that was probably something I enjoyed. And then, of course, the coaching that might go with it just made me think that DORT was probably a good choice and that education was probably for me.
So during your time at DORT, you mentioned you served as a work-study statistician for Coach Len Rota and for Defender Basketball. When did basketball become a passion of yours, and what drew you to that opportunity in college?
Well, you know, I guess it was, again, it was all in the Lord's plan. I enjoyed going to basketball games in high school. I certainly enjoyed going to basketball games at DORT, and I struck up a relationship with Dr. Len Rota, Coach Rota, in an activity PE course, softball and badminton, I think it was. And I think that at the time, Coach Rota went through a list of work-study possible students to fill his statistician need, and he knew me, and he knew probably my interest in sports and perhaps mathematics. And so he asked me if I would consider being a statistician for the basketball team, and I jumped on that because I thought that was a perfect work-study job for me. And then beyond that, I started teaching in a junior high setting and got just a little bit of coaching in my blood. But after that, when I took my first high school job, the previous math teacher was also the basketball coach, and so it was almost an aside. I took on the mathematics teaching position, but then also was asked whether I thought I could coach a basketball, and I was a little bit intimidated by it, perhaps. And I told the interviewers, the board members, and the principal, well, I know I can organize a bunch of guys, and I'll have to grow into the X's and O's. And I guess from there, I just became a student of the game and immersed myself in it and enjoyed it all the way.
Where was that first coaching opportunity at?
And so I started my teaching career in Ironton, Iowa, taught and coached in a junior high position there. And then I went out to Dakota Christian High School in New Holland, South Dakota. And in all of my stops, you know, the communities were just tremendous. They enfolded our family, and we became part of the community, and we thoroughly enjoyed our time there. But I started at Dakota Christian in New Holland, South Dakota.
You graduated from DORT as a member of the class in 1976. When you think back to those years as a student at DORT, what sticks out to you most?
Well, I think the first thing that impressed me was probably the community, the camaraderie, how friendly everybody was. I remember walking up and down the sidewalks, even to classes, and I didn't know that many people, but they would greet me. And then beyond that, the dorm life enfolded me, and, you know, you get to see some good friends, you get to understand your counselor and what they're trying to lead you to. And so I think the community was probably the biggest thing that was really impressed upon me at DORT.
I think people probably remember you best for your legendary run as a boys head basketball coach at Pella Christian, you know, over 450 wins at Pella Christian, a plethora of state tournament runs. When you first got into coaching in Ironton and in South Dakota, did you ever envision having that kind of run of a success in your coaching career?
Certainly not. If somebody had told me that as, say, a high school student, I probably would have just scoffed at them because I did not play basketball in high school. I was a very small, statured kid, and our grade school did not have a gymnasium. And as a farm kid, basketball was not a part of our lives, really, other than shooting hoops around the barn. So I didn't grow up around basketball, so somebody would have told me then that 40-plus years later you would have been a coach at Pella Christian coaching basketball. That just wouldn't have seemed possible. But, you know, even starting in South Dakota, I think I started coaching there at the varsity boys basketball level in 1980. And, again, it just kind of grew into it. We had some great athletes, some great teams, and were able to win a state championship back in 1986. So 6 years later, went from kind of green to winning a state championship, and I was really pinching myself. And when I moved to Pella, the boys basketball coaching position was not actually open at that time, but I took on a math teaching position, and then the coaching became available, and Pella Christian had just won three state championships, so I didn't know if I wanted to jump in, but people assured me that I should, and yeah, I guess the rest is history. We had some great teams there, and I don't take much credit. We had some great athletes, supportive parents and families, and a great community.
Is there a moment from your time at Pella Christian or during your coaching career that sticks out most, or is there just an overall theme that you'll remember most fondly about your time coaching at PC?
Yeah, you know, after 27 years, they kind of all blend together, but I guess one of the moments probably was that first state tournament team. I think it was 1998. We had come close a couple of times before and lost in some kind of heartbreaking games at the sub-state level. But that team was characterized by a player who had gone through some cancer rehabilitation during the offseason and really was weak physically as he started the season. But just to see that team come together and for those guys to reach a goal that they really dreamed about since they were little kids and saw some previous teams at Pella Christian go to the state tournament. And then, yeah, we got to the championship game, and unfortunately we weren't able to win it. But that kind of set the tone, I think. It got us and me to the state tournament in Iowa, and I think we as a coaching staff realized that, hey, you know what, we can do this at a high level also.
Well, you coached at a high level. This past spring was your last run as a head coach at Pella Christian. Why was this year the right time to retire for you and your family?
Well, I had made a decision to retire as a teacher, and I was kind of uncertain about whether I should keep coaching or not. And, yeah, through a series of events, it became apparent that I probably should just quit coaching as well and just step totally away from the school and let others take over. So it was just kind of the right time as it turned out, and so I'm at peace with that decision.
When we talk about athletics, it plays a role in our lives, and it changes throughout our lives, depending on our age, our location, kind of the stage we're at in life. As you move forward into retirement, what role do you see athletics playing in your life?
Well, you know, when I was a young coach, and I guess I'm going to speak from a coach's perspective instead of from a player's perspective, when I was a young coach, you know, I didn't really get totally upset by losses, but I think losses and just things that didn't go well bothered me more as time went on. So now my perspective is that athletics is certainly about relationship building and about learning how to work together, how to work towards a common goal, how to give up yourself to achieve a greater goal. And that's kind of the role that athletics needs to play for players, but it also needs to be that for coaches. And now that I'm kind of out of it, I look back and say, well, sometimes I think we did that well, and sometimes we should have done it better.
Well, Coach, congratulations on an awesome coaching career, and best wishes to you and your family, and wish you some happiness and healthiness as we move forward here in 2020.
Thank you, Christian. It was an honor speaking with you.
Once again, thanks to Larry Hessing, a 1976 graduate from Dort, who had a number of coaching stops, but a long, successful run at Pella Christian High School. That'll do it for this episode of Where Are They Now? Where Are They Now is made possible on KDCR by Farmers Mutual Insurance Association of Hull, a Grinnell Mutual member, providing property protection to Northwest Iowa farmers and homeowners since 1886. Trust in tomorrow. I'm your host, Christian Zylstra, signing off here on Where Are They Now? But we'll have more Defender Athletic action coming up on KDCR right after this.
Welcome back to Heatham Field. Dort leads Midland 14-7. Halftime numbers look like this. The Defenders with 83 yards rushing, Midland with negative 10, Dort with 71 yards passing, Midland with 190, 71 of those yards coming on a scoring strike to Darren Gentry. Overall, Dort with 9 first downs, Midland with 9 first downs. And Dort has been outgained 180 to 154. Individually, Noah Clayburgh with 59 yards rushing on 12 carries. Michael Sonderman, 6 carries for 14 yards. Clayburgh, 7 of 10 passing for 66 yards. Ben Hubelhorst, 2 catches for 16 yards. Rafi Carr, Levi Junkling, Hayden Large with 1 catch each. Junkling actually has 2 catches for 24 yards. Darren Gentry has 2 catches for 81 for Midland. Keenan Smith with 2 for 22. Maximus Wald, 2 for 20. Also in action today, Dakota Wesleyan at Hastings. And Hastings leads that one 28-7. Other GPAC football tonight, Concordia's at Doan. And at 7 o'clock this evening, Northwestern will be visiting Morningside. We're at halftime. Dort leads 14-7. Back with the second half kickoff right after this. Zachman with the kickoff. Return by the Midland Warriors. Out to the 36-yard line. Abe Stowe's on the tackle. And it'll be Midland with it. First down and 10 at their own 36-yard line. Just underway with the second half. Dort leading 14-7. Only other game in the GPAC happening this afternoon. Hastings leads Dakota Wesleyan 28-7. Stewart, handoff. Gives to Keenan Smith. And Keenan Smith gains 3 on the play. It'll be second down and 7. Second and 7. So Dort's run defense has been equal to the challenge so far this afternoon. And other than that one big pass play, defense has played pretty well. Midland, though, with a 71-yard touchdown pass, and that's the difference between this being a 14-0 and 14-7 contest. Stewart has Smith stationed behind him, pitches it over to Smith. Smith has a seam and is brought down at the 45-yard line. It's a gain of 6 on the play. It's going to be third down and 1 at their own 45-yard line. Shoestring tackle on the far side by the defenders. It was one of the linebackers who came up to make that tackle, unable to make out who that was for Dort. Now it's third down and 1. Stewart hands it off. Keenan Smith back to the line of scrimmage, struggling forward as he reaches out with a football. Dangerous move. But Keenan Smith stops short of the first down. It's now fourth down and 2. Fourth and 2 at the 44-yard line. How confident are you if you're Midland? One, can you pick up 2 yards? And two, if you don't, how confident are you that your defense can make a stop at midfield? They're going to gamble here and go for it. Fourth down and 2. We'll see how much of a gamble. They're going to pitch it over to Smith. Smith, nothing there. And Smith throwing for a 4-yard loss on the play. And my goodness, early in the second half, Midland rolling the dice, and there was nothing there for Keenan Smith on the pitch, and Midland turns it over and gives Dort a short field. Dort with it at the 40-yard line. It'll be first and 10 for the defenders. Let's see if Dort can make Midland pay and get this back up to a 2-score difference. Dort with the wind at their back here in the third quarter. There's a breeze from right to left or from north to south. And the handoff up the middle to Sonderman. Sonderman picks up 3 on the play. It's going to be second down and 7. Nothing fancy that time by the defenders. Patrick Tovar also on the offensive line for the defenders. I think I've gotten everybody on the offensive line now for Dort. Clayburg barking signals. It's second and 7. Hands it off to Sonderman. Sonderman up the middle. Picks up 4 on the play. It's going to be third down and 3. Third and 3. Dort leading 14-7. 12:30 remaining in this third quarter. Jungling comes from right to left. Charlie Young is in the football game. Carter Skibot checks out. Clayburg gets the snap. Hands it off, and Sonderman has a first down. Hit hard, though, as he gets to the first down marker. He's got it inside the 30 and onto the 29-yard line. And right now, Dort just playing some smash-mouth football. Straight ahead, nothing fancy. They have not gone to the air here on this series so far. Started at the 40-yard line after Midland tried for a fourth down and 4 play and lost yardage, fourth down and 2, actually, and lost 4 yards. Dort with the football. And they hand it off Sonderman. Sonderman struggles forward to the line of scrimmage. It's going to be second down and 10. Second and 10. Clock continuing to run. 11:35 left to play here in the third period. Dort with it in Midland territory at the 30-yard line. They need the 20 for a first down, so that was actually a loss. They need inside the 20 for a first down, a loss of one on that play. Clayburgh sends a man in motion. Clayburgh gets a block to the 30, to the 25, inside the 25, down to the 24-yard line before he is brought down. Shoestring tackle made by Midland's Zach Akamo. It'll be third down. Dort, no likelihood in four down territory here. Third down and five at the 24. They make the 19. They've got a first down. Clayburgh looks to the sideline. Play clock is at 20 seconds. Alex Hoistman on the near side up out of his stance. Parker Beck on the far side of the line out of his stance as well. Mitchell Van Regenmorter will snap it to Clayburgh in the pistol. Clayburgh, hard count. Clayburgh fakes the pitch, keeps it himself. Second effort up to the 21-yard line. It's going to be short of the first down. Be shocked if Dort doesn't go for it here. This would be about a 40-yard field goal attempt. It's going to be fourth down and at least three. Football is shy of the 22-yard line. First down marker is shy of the 19-yard line. So Dort needs three. Fourth down and three. Sonderman in the backfield. Joel Penner might be calling for a timeout. No, he's not going to. Sends Raffi Carr in motion. Clayburgh hands it off. No. Clayburgh rolling. Pass is incomplete, intended for Raffi Carr. And the pass falls incomplete. It'll be turnover on downs. And Midland survives the scare. And they will take over first down and 10 at their own 22-yard line. 9:51 left to play. Third quarter of action. Both teams coming up with defensive stops on fourth down and relatively short. Midlands with their back to the goal line, making the stop at the 22, and now they'll take over first down and 10. Stewart sends a man in motion. That's Maximus Wald. Wald all by himself on the far side. Gains 11 on the play. It's going to be tackled by Jalen Placide. And again, Dort with about six or seven players rallying to the football. Wald will pay a price for that, but not before he picks up a first down to the 34-yard line. First down and 10 for the Warriors at their own 34. Dort leading 14-7. Football's at the 34. Stewart is your quarterback. Wald in motion. And we've got a new quarterback in the ball game as well. We'll get that change for you in just a moment. Swing pass over to Wald. And they have now gone with number 11 for the Warriors. For Midland, that's River Walker. River Walker in at quarterback. So Midland making a quarterback change. Left-handed throwing, Walker. Walker pitches it over to Smith. Smith gets away from a tackler. It's in Dort territory to the 40, down to the 35-yard line. And Midland has gotten a little bit of a spark here. Brayton Van Kickerix with the tackle. And for Midland, they're in Dort territory at the 33-yard line. First down and 10 for the Warriors. So River Walker inserted on the second series of the second half. And his teammates have responded. He's moved the football. He keeps it himself out of a tackler. Jalen Placide trying to drag him down, and River Walker brought down inside the 10, down at the 8-yard line. So that's a 25-yard carry on the play for River Walker. Walker shaken up on the play, though. Gets up slowly. It'll be first and goal to go for Midland inside the 10 at the 9-yard line. First down and goal to go for the Warriors. Walker, bunch formation, Keenan Smith motions out of the backfield. Walker's going to run to the open side of the field on the far side, and he's forced out of bounds at the 5-yard line. So a gain of four on the play, forced out of bounds at the five. It'll be second down and goal to go at the five. 8 minutes remaining, third quarter. Dort leading 14-7. Dort had a 14-0 lead. Midland got a 71-yard touchdown throw to cut the lead in half. And they had the momentum going into the second, into halftime. Walker takes the snap. Walker is going to be snowed under inside the five down at the four-yard line. So a gain of one on the play. And it'll be second down and goal to go. Third down and goal to go. Third and goal to go at the four. Walker looks to the sideline. Has Smith in the backfield with him. Gentry is off to the near side. And he's got Maximus Wold to his right. So he's got Smith to his left. Fakes the hand. He gives it to Smith. Smith trying to get to the edge. And Smith is dragged down at the five-yard line. Abe Stowe's on the tackle. And that will bring up fourth down and goal to go for the Warriors. And will they decline the field goal try again? This would be a 22-yard field goal try, and they're going to go for it. Same formation. Stewart to the left. Line him up at a wing back, actually. No, not Stewart. That is Smith. Now they bring him back even with the quarterback in the shotgun. Fake the handoff. River Walker. Pass is picked off. It's taken away by Jalen Placide. Placide tripped up at the 10-yard line, though, and the Dort defense comes up with a stop. Jalen Placide steps in front of the intended receiver, takes it away, tripped up at the 10. The Turf Monster got him, but the defenders come up with a defensive stop. It'll be first down and 10 at their own 10-yard line. 6:28 left to play, third quarter. First and 10 to go at their own 10. Dort has not generated much offense here this afternoon. This has played out kind of what I thought. Midland, a lot of their defense intact from last year, and they gave Dort a lot of problems last year. Pitch over to Skibout. Skibout out beyond the 20 to the 25-yard line. Noah Klayberg with the option pitch over to the sophomore running back. And Skibout is forced out of bounds at the 25. So a gain of 15 on the play. The defenders with a little more room to work that time. They're on the near hash mark. Lining up on the numbers to the near side. That's Heuvelhorst. Stack the backfield. Klayberg rolling right, and it's nearly picked off. Noah Klayberg. Pass tipped, falls incomplete. It'll be second down. Second down and 10. Dort with it at their own 25-yard line. Clock stops with 6:03 remaining in the third period. Noah Klayberg stacked the backfield again behind him. Klayberg pitches it over to Skibout. Skibout turns the corner, 30, 35, 40, 42-yard line. He runs over a would-be tackler. And it'll be Dort football at the 42, first down and 10. So Dort going back to the option plays. Had a little success with that earlier in the contest. Got away from it. Now resorting back to it here in the third quarter. First and 10 for the defenders at their own 42. Klayberg brings the troops up to the line of scrimmage. First down and 10. Klayberg fakes the give to Sonderman. Now he's going to roll left. Plants. Throws. It's underthrown. Heuvelhorst goes up and gets it, though. Ben Heuvelhorst on the underthrown pass. Back defensively, and I thought surely that was going to get picked off. Courtney Chandler, though, unable to fight off the high-jumping Ben Heuvelhorst, and Heuvelhorst takes it down inside the 20 at the 19-yard line. Sedort knocking on the door again. First and 10 for the defenders at the 19. Sonderman and Skibout behind Klayberg. Klayberg in the pistol, 5 yards deep. He's going to run option. Plants. Cuts up field inside the 15 down to the 11. So Noah Klayberg marked down actually at the 12. That'll be a 7-yard gain on the play. It's going to be second down and three. 14-7, Dort leading by 7. 4:50 and counting, third quarter. Dort with two early scores. Midland had the momentum at the end of the first half. Had one big pass play, make it 14-7, and very nearly tied it right before halftime, but a ball knocked away. Handoff to Sonderman, weaving his way forward. Michael Sonderman to the 5-yard line. That's enough for a Dort first down. And they say there was a fumble. What's the indication? And they will give it to Midland. So Sonderman on the second effort has it stripped away, lost possession of it, and the Midland Warriors come away with it. Coming up off of the bottom of the pile with the football is Chase Lipsis, and it'll be Midland football, first down and 10 at their own 6-yard line. Well, let's see if Dort can come up with another stop defensively. The only thing that makes you feel on edge here is it was one big play so far for Midland offensively that is the difference between this being 14-0 and 14-7. And you just wonder if they have another one of those plays waiting. 4:30 left to play, third period. River Walker in at quarterback, flag on the play. And it's whistled dead. And this is going to be against Midland. False start. Half the distance to the goal line. Sean Johnston tells us it's now going to be at the 3-yard line. First and 13. That's one of those odd ones that you rarely see. First and 13. 4:29 left to play in the third period. Menno Jones into the contest for Midland. River Walker hands it off. And Smith with a stiff arm down to the 10-yard line. So he gains 7 on the play. So he knocks about half of the off of the what was first and 13. It's now second and 6. Second and 6. So second down and 6 yards, second down and 5, we'll call it. A little misdirection this time. Keenan Smith trying to bounce it outside, and he's wrapped up behind the line of scrimmage. Tackle made by the defenders, Bryce Christian. And Christian throws him for a 3-yard loss and goes from second and 5 to 3rd and 8. And Midland deep in their own territory, 3:39 left to play in the third period. Dort leading 14-7, Midland. Just want a little room to work if you're Midland. River Walker motions a man out of the backfield. Snap is low. He steps up in the pocket, and he's going to be drilled. Nothing there. The pocket collapses, and that's Thomas McComber with another quarterback sack. McComber, a sophomore from Missouri. A 70-yard loss on the play all the way back to the 5. Actually, it's going to be a loss of 5 on the play, back to the 5. It'll be 4th down and long, and Midland is forced to punt. Kabongo stationed at the 35 for Dort. This punt is into the wind. And the snap is low, and it is out of the end zone, and that's a safety. So the defenders have taken a 9-point lead, a 2-score difference. On the safety, snap that the punter could not handle, ball was on the grass, and it rolls out of the end zone, and Dort takes a 16-7 lead. Now a free kick coming as well, and I believe this comes from the 20-yard line. Our back judge sprinting forward. He was going to take it up to the 30. This is a free kick from the 20. 2:44 left to play in the third quarter. So Dort with a little bit of breathing room now. 2-score difference. Midland showed that they had the propensity to convert a 2-point try earlier in the ballgame. Now it was called back due to a penalty. But, you get that up down to a 2-score difference. Changes the complexion of things with Dort's defense playing pretty well up to this point. 2:44 left to play in the third period. So Midland will now punt. Well, you get the choice. You can kick off, or you can kick it from the tee, or you can punt. They will elect to kick off from their own 20. Dort will put their regular kick return formation, but they'll just bring it up 20 yards. So Skibout and Ethan Thomas back at their own 25-yard line. And the kickoff forthcoming. And after the safety, this is going to be taken by Thomas. Thomas at his 18-yard line to the 30, 35, and forced out of bounds out near the 40-yard line, actually the 42. Nice return that time by Thomas, the sophomore from Fort Worth, Texas. And the defenders will take over first down and 10. I thought they had it at the 42, but instead, yep, it's going to be the 42. Looked like they were going to mark it at the 45, but now the 42. And Noah Clayburg, the junior play caller for the Dort defenders, will come out onto the field. Let's see if the offense can get something going. Back to pass is Clayburg. Clayburg looks off. Now pass is incomplete, intended for Jungling. Jungling in and out of his hands at the line of scrimmage. It's going to be second down and 10. Second and 10, Dort leading 16-7. So the clock stops on the incomplete pass. And Noah Clayburg looking right, looking left, now gets the snap. And beg your pardon, that's Reynolds, Tyler Reynolds in at quarterback again for the defenders. We saw Dort play with Reynolds at quarterback in one series. Back in the first half, Reynolds that time runs option, keeps it himself, picks up two. It will be third down and 8. Third and 8, clock continuing to run, 2:09 left to play in the third period. Now Klaber back in at quarterback. He's got Skibout behind him. Back to pass is Clayburg. Clayburg under pressure. Pass is complete to Jungling, and that is a 9-yard pickup. On third down and eight, and the defenders have a first down into Midland territory at the 46-yard line. This Midland team has a good defensive unit together, many of them returning from last year's group that gave Dort fits. A little bit of movement along the line of scrimmage. Morningside back on their side of the ball. Walter Black in at left guard now for the defenders. Clayburg turns upfield to the 40 and brought down at the 39-yard line. That's a gain of 7 on the play. It'll be second and 3. So it's Hoisman, Black, Van Regenmorter on the from left to right on the offensive line. You've got Beck on the right side. And looks like Patrick Tovar is your right guard. So Beck is your right tackle. Tovar is your right guard. Rafi Carr in motion. They fake the pitch, hand it off to Skibout. Skibout falls forward, and Skibout gains 6 on the play. That's another Dort first down with under a minute to go here in the third quarter. Dort leading 16-7. 16-7, our score. Skibout is behind Clayburg, and Clayburg that time struggles to get back to the line of scrimmage. Tackle by Midland's Connor Smith. And Connor Smith catches Clayburg at the line of scrimmage. That might be the last play of the quarter. We'll see if Dort runs another play. They don't have to. Looks like they will, though. Clayburg sends a man in motion, second and 11. Back to pass. Under pressure and slips and falls, and that's going to be a loss of 12. And that will be the last play of the third quarter. So it goes from second and 11 to third and 23 now. Third and 23 on the way. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. Back with the fourth quarter of action from Heatham Field, Fremont, Nebraska, right after this. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. We're also live on the World Wide Web, KDCR88.5.com. Dort facing third down and long. They're at the 45-yard line of Midland. They need Midland's 21-yard line for a first down. Clayburg has Sonderman behind him. Bolden and jungling to his right. Clayburgh's going to scramble. He's to the 40 and picks up maybe 6 on the play. It's going to be fourth down. Fourth down, Dort leading by 2 scores. And I would imagine they are going to punt here. Clayburgh will take his spot at midfield. He will punt. He's listed as the first-string punter this season. He and Jake Dodge split the duties last year. Line of scrimmage is the 39. And Clayburgh will be punting. Can't imagine there would be much of a threat of a fake here. Needs 17 for a first down. Snap is back to Clayburgh. Clayburgh with the kick taken at the 9-yard line. Fair catch called for. And Midland with 90 yards in front of them. 14:05 remaining in the contest. So Dort offensively not able to generate much here in the second half. But they do lead by 2 scores, 16-7. 16-7 our score. So River Walker back in at quarterback. He came in the second series of the second half. Walker back to pass. Left-hander steps up in the pocket. Scrambling. Throws over the middle. Pass is complete. Mrazek on the tackle. Now Menno Jones finishes off the receiver. But not before a Midland first down to Austin Harris. Harris the tight end. All the way out to the 30-yard line. So a 19-yard pickup on the play. First down and 10. Walker flares it out to Maximus Wold. Wold on the sideline, and Wold is thrown out of bounds at the 44-yard line. That's a gain of 14 on the play. And just like that, Midland in business. This one still a little bit to go, a little bit of work to do for the defenders. First down and 10 for the Warriors at their own 44-yard line. River Walker has had some success at quarterback for Midland. Walker steps up in the pocket, and Walker is going to be funneled down at midfield, and he is hit hard by the defenders. Lineman trailing the play. He went airborne, and that is never good. And Jake Buechelman, senior for Dort, 6 foot 265, got right into the ribs of River Walker. And River Walker right now has at least the wind knocked out of him. And we will see if he's able to continue. As I said, he went airborne, got upended, and Buechelman brought him down. Buechelman, clean shot on River Walker, and Walker at the 45-yard line. And as I said, at the least, the wind knocked out of him. We'll see if he's able to continue. In the meantime, we're going to take a break. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. Back with more from Heatham Field right after this. 12:57 left to play. Midland sends Eric Stewart back into the fray. Stewart removed from the contest earlier in the half. River Walker walked off of the field under his own power. It's going to be second down and 7 after the short gain on the play for Keenan Smith. So second and 7. Make that second and 6. They need the 36-yard line for a first down. They're at the 43. Back to pass. Stewart, pass complete. Menno Jones knocks the receiver out of bounds. That's Darren Gentry, and that's another first down for Midland. And Midland chewing up yardage right now. They're to the Dort 35-yard line and threatening. Trailing 16-7 are the Warriors. Another sustained drive by the Warriors. Now Dort's defense has made plays and come away unscathed except for that one long pass play. Stewart, back to pass. Stewart throws over the middle, incomplete, broken up by Nathan Kabongo. Pass falls incomplete, intended for Skrabecki. And that'll bring up second down. So River Walker back into the contest. Walker is back in. Stewart is out. So River Walker has his breath back after having the wind knocked out of him by Jake Buechelman. And now he's back. He's in the shotgun. Hands it off to Smith. Keenan Smith breaks a tackle inside the 25, down to the 23 for another Midland first down. And with 11:29 left to play here in the contest, Midland is threatening. They've got it at the Dort 23-yard line. Walker has Smith behind him. Keenan Smith about 8 yards deep in the backfield. Back to pass is Walker. We're going to have a holding play. And trying to step out of bounds was River Walker, and David Kakmarinski hit him in bounds. And now player shaken up for the defenders. Looks like it might be a cramp. I believe that's Colton Vanderberg. Colton Vanderberg will trot off of the field. Two flags on the play. This is going to be a holding penalty against Midland. So this will be a 10-yard penalty back to the 33-yard line. And it'll be first and 20. First and 20 from the 33. River Walker up to the line of scrimmage. Again, has Smith behind him. Austin Harris is in the slot on the far side. Gentry goes in motion. Back to pass is Walker. And Walker completes it to Smith. And Smith runs over a tackler, but there's going to be a hold. There's going to be another holding penalty. And I saw it pretty plainly from where I was at. The defensive player got held, spun around, and basically tackled on the play. And this one's going to be coming back from the 26. And in effect, it's going to be a 10-yard penalty. Play happened up the field, but I don't know who it was for Dort that got held, but saw him get Midland player got a hand on the shoulder pad and spun him around and down. And so another holding penalty against Midland's going to come here. And here's the honest, if I can see it from up here, it's pretty obvious. And you can boo all you want. And now we're going to have an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty against Midland. This one's going to be costly for the Warriors. And I'm all for being for your team. I'm all for cheering. I know that the officials aren't always going to make the calls for your team. But that one was obvious. Midland all the way back now to their own 49-yard line. And how many times do you get a chance to say this? First and 45. First and 45 for Midland. 10:42 remaining. They need to get down to the Dort 14-yard line for a first down. We got four plays to do it. River Walker, pass is incomplete. In and out of the hands of the intended receiver, Garcia. It'll be second and 45. Clock stops on the incomplete pass. And actually not 45, but that's going to be 36. They had 45 up on the scoreboard initially. It's only second and 36. Back to pass is Walker. Walker flares it out to Maximus Wold. Wold Not much there. He's going to be brought down after a gain of about 6 on the play. We'll give him 7 to the Dort 44. And it's going to be 3rd down and long. 3rd and 29. 3rd and 29, and if you're Midland, you're starting to get to that point of the game where it might be decision time on 4th down. So you want to take a piece of it back here if you're Midland. Maybe you take a shot all the way down to the field. Back to pass is River Walker. Walker under pressure, throws it underneath. Pass is complete. Tackled inbounds at the 39-yard line. It's going to be about 4th and 25 after the completion to Austin Harris. And Stoes with another tackle. And Midland, 4th and 25. Looks like they're going to go for it here with 9:37 remaining. Remember, they're down 2 scores. You're in no man's land. You're at the Dort 38. You maybe gain 10 or 20 yards if you punt, if it's a good one. So 4th down and long for Midland. Maybe you hope for a penalty of some sort. River Walker back to pass, under pressure, flush from the pocket, looking. And he's going to be thrown, he's going to be brought, tackled, and he throws it away. Actually throws a backwards pass as he is spun down at the 49-yard line. And it was again, I think it was, Thomas McComber with another quarterback sack. So they'll take over the football, Will Dort, at the 49-yard line. That's where the ball went out of bounds on the backwards pass. And the defenders with 9:05 left on the clock. If you can score here, you might salt it away. Dort has only scored a safety, though, here in the second half. And Dort scored 2 relatively quickly, and now a flag on the play. It's going to be a false start against the defenders. Not the way you want to start this drive. An inauspicious start for the defenders. Dort with a football. This is Clayburgh, and Clayburgh is brought down at the 46-yard line. So second down and 13. And back to pass is Clayburgh. Clayburgh over to Jungling. Jungling on the near side. Jukes a tackler. And it's forced out of bounds near the 45-yard line. It's going to be 3rd down. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. We're also live on the World Wide Web, KDCR88.5.com. So Noah Clayburgh up to the line of scrimmage. Clayburgh with Skibout to his left. And Clayburgh pitches it forward to Skibout. Skibout near the first down marker. And it's either going to be 4th and short or 1st down by less than a yard. And Dort facing 4th down and less than a yard. I'd be shocked if they didn't go for it here. So up to the line of scrimmage go the defenders. Noah Clayburgh sends a man in motion. Hands it off Sonderman. Sonderman has the first down. We're under 7.5 left to go in the contest, and the defenders trying to grind out a drive. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. We're also live on the World Wide Web, KDCR88.5.com. Dort, first and 10 at the 38-yard line. Had movement. No flags come out. Klayberg to the sideline. And the pass falls incomplete, intended for Hebelhorst. It'll bring up second down. And the clock stops on the play. Clock stops. The defenders facing second down and 10 now at the Midland 38-yard line. And Klayberg hands it off Sonderman. Sonderman, straight ahead carry. No gain on the play. It will be third down and 10. Third down and 10. Football is at the 38-yard line. Need the 28, obviously, for a first down. Dort in Midland territory, 6:20 remaining. Klayberg keeps it himself after the fake and the handoff. And he is inside the 35 to the 34. And they're going to mark him down at the 35, and it's going to be fourth down. Fourth down and 7 for the defenders. Under 6 minutes to go. Dort trying to bleed out the clock. Midland needs the ball back, and they need to score twice. Still some time. If Midland could strike quickly, a score here, a touchdown, could finish it. Fourth down and 6. 7 seconds on the play clock. Now 5. 3. Klayberg, and they're going to call a timeout. Timeout on the field, charge to the Dort defenders. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. We're also live on the World Wide Web, KDCR88.5.com. Back with more from Fremont, Nebraska, right after this.
This broadcast.
5:29 left to play. Dort leading Midland 16-7. Football is at the 35-yard line. And the defenders facing fourth down and 7. Get it to the 28. We had movement. No flags, though. Klayberg lofts it over the top, and we had a flag on the play. Jungling got tripped up and held, I think. And this is going to be a first down for the defenders. Jungling was on the field at the 15-yard line as the ball went over his head. And the defenders with a 16-7 lead may have just gotten a gift on the fourth down try. And it's a first down for the defenders. And that will draw the ire of the Midland faithful. First down and 10 for the defenders now at the 20. Now if you're Midland, you got to start thinking about using timeouts to preserve the clock. Dort can run 3 plays here. And they could, 4 plays, they could in effect take about 2.5 minutes off of the clock if they keep it on the ground. And we have a player that has to leave the field for Midland. Defensive player, looked like Christian Harmon maybe dealing with a cramp. So first down and 10 for the defenders at the 20. And we've got 5 free yards for the defenders. It'll be a 5-yard penalty against Midland as they came across the line. And Dort's offensive lineman, left tackle, Alex Hoisman, out of his stance. And Walter Black over there on the left side with him. Looks like that offensive line has been pretty stable so far. Back in Tovar on the right. Van Regenmorter is your center. Skibout is the tailback behind Klayberg. And Charlie Young in the football game as well. He's a blocking back. They hand it off to Skibout. Skibout weaving his way forward. Touchdown, defenders. Carter Skibout weaving his way forward 15-yard touchdown for the sophomore from Orange City. And the defenders now with a 22-7 lead. And they'll go for the point after here. They'll try to make it a 16-point difference. I did wonder if they would go for two here and get it up to 17 and make it a three-score difference. Zachman on to attempt the point after. Snap is down, kick is up, and the kick is blocked. And now Midland will try to return it. Midland trying to return it. This would be a two-point return, but racing after him. And I think he's going to get caught. He will. Chasing him down from behind. Heads-up play by the defenders on the return. That's Aaron Van Hoffwagen. So Van Hoffwagen chasing down the return man, the player as he returned the blocked point after, would have resulted in a two-point conversion if he had gone the distance. He did not. And the defenders now lead by 15, 22-7. It's still a two-score lead. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. Back with more after this. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. We're also live on the World Wide Web, KDCR885.com. The defenders with the kickoff back inside the 10 down to the 7-yard line and going airborne up and over and losing the football, but they're going to rule them down as Michael Sonderman falls on top of it. It'll be first down and 10 for the Warriors, and the Warriors at their own 25-yard line. Midland will have to convert on this drive. Try and make a ball game of it again. Dort leading by two scores, 5:13 remaining. Stranger things have happened. River Walker is your quarterback. If you're Dort, keep everybody in front of you. Dort bringing pressure. River Walker, pass falls incomplete. He was under pressure as he was flushed from the pocket. It's second down. Second down on the way. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. And back to pass is Walker. Walker throws off his back foot, and we've got a flag on the play as well. So it looks like the defenders will probably have a penalty flag. And we've got a holding penalty against the defenders. So the defenders with a penalty. And River Walker back to pass under pressure. Flush from the pocket again. He's going to scramble. And again goes airborne, and he has got to stay on his feet. He's not going to make it through the season at this rate. I know he was backup quarterback coming in, and you love the heart, but he went airborne again and just got leveled. 4:40 left to play out at his team's 44-yard line. So Midland at their own 44. Second and one, so he gains 9 on the scramble. Underneath, and the pass intended for Keenan Smith. Ostenink providing pressure along with Dort's Max Kolb. And Dort is just coming with straight pressure. They're not worrying about stopping the run in the least right now. Third down and one. Midland has it at their own 44-yard line. So third down and one. Clock has stopped. 4:24 left to play. River Walker with it. Spins away from a tackler. Now dodges another tackler. He's in the open field to the 30. And he's going to be brought down at the 31-yard line. It'll stop the clock momentarily on the first down. So he scrambles and picks up the first down. And Midland up the line of scrimmage. Clock continuing to wind. 4:13 left to go. Midland at the 31-yard line of Dort. Walker under pressure. Picks it up out of the grass. And the pass is complete. And that's a touchdown. A touchdown completion to Austin Harris. So Harris with the touchdown makes it 22-7. And now Midland... we'll try for the point after. This will be a kick for Jared Quinones, and this game is not done yet. Dort was up by two scores. It could be reduced to a one-score ball game. An all-important point after coming here for Midland. Quinones, snap is down, kick is up, and the kick is good. And Midland makes it 22-14, an 8-point lead for the defenders with 4:02 remaining, and Dort with two timeouts remaining, Midland with three. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. Dort receiving the kickoff when we're back right after this. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. We're also live on the World Wide Web, KDCR885.com. So Midland will be kicking off. The defenders playing for the onside kick here. Remember, Midland has all three of their timeouts left. Dort with 10 players, all from their own 45-yard line forward. And Midland with a kick over the top, and that's going to bounce into the end zone, and that'll be a touchback for the defenders. Dort will take over first down and 10 at their own 25-yard line. So first down and 10 for the defenders at their own 25-yard line. Going to have to pick up a couple of first downs here if you're Dort. Leading by 8, so it's still a one-score difference. Touchdown and a 2-point conversion ties it. Handoff to Charlie Young. Young with some fresh legs. He picks up 5 on the play. It'll be second and 5. Second and 5 on the way. So second and 5 coming at the 30-yard line. And this is Tyler Reynolds in at quarterback for the defenders, so Clayburg will line up as a running back. Reynolds. Turns, hands, gives it to Young. Young picks up 3 on the play. It will be third down and 2. 3:10 and counting. Ball game. Dort leading 22-14. It's been a couple of pass plays, a couple of long pass plays to score for Midland. For Dort, an extended drive and then a short drive after a turnover in the first quarter. Third down and 2 for the defenders. At their own 38-yard line, they pick up at the 33. They need the 35 for a first down. 2:40 and counting, ball game. Reynolds, barking signals. Fakes the handoff, keeps it himself. Did he get the first down? It's close. And he's going to be shy of the first down by less than a yard. Decision time for Coach Joel Penner. And he's not going to be much of a decision here. He's going to send the punt team onto the field with 2:30 left. Well, he hasn't sent the punt team on the field yet. We've got a timeout charged to Midland. They'll preserve the clock. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. We're also live on the World Wide Web, KDCR885.com. Tyler Reynolds was inches from a first down that would have extended the drive. Instead, it is fourth down and less than a yard. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. Back with more after this. Yes. So now Dort's going to go for it. Fourth and inches. Noah Clayburg looks to the sideline. The game of cat and mouse continues. 12 seconds remaining. Now he could still punt. 7 seconds left. 5. And the defenders are going to call a timeout. Oh, the chess moves you make. And here's what it's boiled down to. We have had 3 timeouts called on a 4th and inches. So you start the half each with 6 timeouts. These two teams have called half of those combined timeouts here on 4th and inches. Another timeout on the field. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. We're also live on the World Wide Web, KDCR885.com. So Dort with a 22-14 advantage in the season opener. And quite honestly, you just don't know how many opportunities this fall you're going to get to play football. And here this afternoon, these two teams, it's ended up as a defensive struggle. And both teams treating this with the intensity of a playoff contest. And if they both want to get where they want to go, that is to be in contention for a playoff berth, you need to win this contest. 4th and inches. Clayburg, they're going to go for it. Clayburg fakes the handoff, gives it to Skibout. First down, defenders! Carter Skibout, left tackle. They run behind Hoisman and Black, the veterans on the offensive line, and the two deliver with enough of a paved way for the defenders to pick up a first down. And how about Carter Skibout picking up 3 when they needed inches, and now it's 1st and 10, and Midland's got 1 timeout remaining. Midland had to use 2 timeouts, one of them to prevent 12 men on the field. So Dort bleeding the clock. Here's Clayburg on the left side. Gets a block from Skibout. Stays in bounds. And they will start the play clock now, so they'll be able to take it down near a minute before they run their next play from scrimmage. That was a 4-yard pickup on the play. And Midland, will they use their final timeout? If my color commentator, Kyle Achterhoff, would be with me, he would say, you call the timeout here simply because you can't get the time back. You call your timeouts. There are other ways to stop the clock, so you use it up now. Midland will let it ride. 2nd and 6. Dort can take it down under a minute. And they will if they're wise. Clayburg looking to the sideline. It's 10 on the play clock. Dort leading 22-14. Clayburg gets the snap, hands it off to Sonderman. Sonderman falls forward. They're trying to strip the football, and now Midland will call the timeout. Timeout on the field, charge to Midland with 57 seconds remaining. They've got 1 timeout remaining. Tempers flaring on the field. Third down and 5. And this will be Midland's final timeout. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. We'll be back with more from Heatham Field in Fremont, Nebraska right after this.
This broadcast of Defender Athletics on KDCR is made possible by Farmers Mutual Insurance Association of Hull, a Grinnell Mutual member, providing property protection to Northwest Iowa farmers and homeowners since 1886. And by Joe's TV and Appliance in Orange City, offering new and used appliances, grills, TVs, and now Serta mattresses, all backed with service you know guaranteed by Joe.
Been hard work today for the defenders. Scored early, and then Midland's defense came to play. Dort leads 22-14 currently. Dort has run for 191 yards, but none of them have been easy. Clayburg 79, Skibout 65. Midland has run for 90, 100 of them in the second half. Clayburg hands it off. Sonderman, the ball carrier. And the defenders now facing fourth down, and the clock will start, and there's a 9-second difference between the game clock and the clock, the play clock. Dort can run it all the way down and call a timeout if they wish, or if you want to continue play, if you can time it out. I would certainly hope that they would kick this out of bounds. I've seen too many of these Midland-Dort matchups where I just don't feel comfortable allowing Midland an opportunity to return a punt. And they will let the clock wind down. Dort calls a timeout. There's 11 seconds on the clock. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center. 88-5, Midland is out of timeouts. Dort is out of timeouts. So Dort scored 14 points in the first half. They were up 14-0. Midland came back with a 71-yard pass play to make it 14-7. The safety in the third quarter really changed the complexion of this contest because it turned into a two-score game at that point. Now it becomes a situation where Dort's just simply trying to keep Midland at bay. Dort did get a score late. That was on a Carter Skibout touchdown, but Midland, to their credit, marched down the field, and they were able to trim the lead down to 22-14, and that's where we're at right now. Noah Clayburg will be punting. 11 seconds on the play clock, on the game clock, I should say. Clayburg, a spiraling kick, drills it to the 10-yard line, and Midland falls on top of it at the 8, and we're going to have an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on Dort as the player slid. The Dort coverage man came in and did not anticipate him sliding to a stop. And a personal foul penalty is going to be against the defenders. Yeah, you're so wired up if you're that player charging down the field. That's going to be 15 free yards for Midland. And now Midland, in all likelihood, they'll just try to keep this alive. They've got one play remaining. Football will be at their own 23-yard line. So Midland will have it. First and 10. They're at their own 23. You'll see a lot of laterals, I would imagine, on this play. Dort up by a touchdown and a two-point conversion. See if you can draw something up. River Walker is the quarterback. Walker back to pass. Throws over the middle. Hook and ladder. They throw it back across the field. And that's going to be it. David Kakmarinski recovers the fumble, and the Dort defenders start the year 1-0 with a 22-14 win over the Midland Warriors. 22-14, Dort 1-0, Midland falls to 0-1. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. Back with a rundown of the scoring and to wrap things up right after this. Yes. Well, the Dort defenders, this one took a little bit of work, but this one well worth it. The defenders come to Fremont and get a win, 22-15 this afternoon over the Midland Warriors. And these are two evenly matched teams, evidenced by their finishes in recent seasons. And they were both picked to tie for third in the preseason coaches poll, and both of them with aspirations of making playoffs. Some things that are possible, as Coach Joel Penner would say. But the case is, this is a big matchup, because if you want to get into that position, you've got Northwestern and Morningside, the bullies on the block, waiting for you later in the year. This is an important win, and Dort gets it today, 22-15. The defenders scored one in the first quarter, another touchdown in the second quarter, then it got a safety in the third, and a Carter Skibout run in the sixth they got a Carter Skibout 15-yard run for another 6 points in the fourth quarter, and they win it 22-14. Dort on the ground, 196 yards to 90 for Midland. Passing, Dort 132, Midland 300. They did have some success throwing the ball, did Midland. In fact, both of their scores came on 71 and 20-yard passes, respectively. For the defenders, they had 13 completions for 132 total yards. Midland, 18 catches for 300 yards. Individually, Dort was led by Claybergs, 22 rushes for 83 yards. Carter Skibout, 8 carries for 65 yards. Michael Sonderman, 15 carries for 35 yards. Noah Claybergs, 7 of 11 passing for 66 yards. Ben Hubelhorst and Levi Jungling each had, well, Ben Hubelhorst had 3 catches for 55 yards. Jungling had 3 catches, make that 4 catches for 42 yards. Rafi Carr, 1 catch for 14 yards. Hayden Large, 1 for 11. Carter Skibout, 2 for 10 for Midland. 63 yards from Keenan Smith on 15 carries. E.J. Stewart, 12 of 27 passing for 229 yards. River Walker, 6 of 10 passing for 71 yards. Darren Gentry had 3 catches for 89 yards. Dort's defense, the story of this game, though, limiting Midland to negative 10 yards rushing in the first half, allowed just 90 yards for the ball game on the ground, and never allowed Midland to get a ground game established. Dort was able to play from in front the entire way. Dort wins it by a final score of 22-14. Look to our website later this evening. We'll have a full recap of today's contest. We'll also have the full statistics for you, along with results from soccer and volleyball. You're listening to KDCR Sioux Center, 88.5. We're also live on the World Wide Web, kdcr885.com. So the maiden voyage for 2020 is out of the way for football. Took care of volleyball in the last week. Did some soccer as well in the last week, so we are off and running. Don't know what the rest of the year looks like, but we are on the road and moving. 22-14, Dort 1-0 this year. They'll be off next week. They return to play 2 weeks from today. Mitchell, South Dakota, facing Dakota Wesleyan. That'll do it for our broadcast. For KDCR Sports, I'm Mike Biker. Good afternoon.